Late Night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
Across the United Kingdom, with Hayley Hayes and Sam, and me from the suburbs, you're with Talk Radio. I am Howard Hughes. But more important than that is you. I want to talk with you tonight about whatever is going on in this crazy, mad world. Our number here is 0344 499 1000. And thank you very much if you've made contact today. Loads of people, Hales, made contact today. Glenn, Val, these are just some of them. Glenn, Val, Manji, Paul, Mark, Lara, John, Alan, Jane, Chris, Michael, Steve, Guy, Paul, Colin, the other Colin as well. Lynn, Gidget, great name, Gidget. Please call in and tell me what that's all about. Is that like Bridget and Gillian? Gidget. Martin, Vinny, Gary, Peter, Steve, Aid, Anthony, Isabel, Steve-O, and Philip, Gilbert, Daz, Rob, Clint, Helen, and Roger. And Derek wanted a picture of the chair that I broadcast from. You know, my dad's old knackered TV viewing leather chair? Yes. So I prepared for you a picture of the chair. And if there's a way to get it out there on one of our platforms, Derek, we're going to do it for you. If not, I'll stick it on my own Facebook page. The
Twitter.
Official Unexplained Howard Hughes.
You should Twitter. Try your Twitter. On the Twitter. We got you on Twitter the other week. You should try and post a picture.
Now, come on, Ailes. How many hands do you think I've got, eh? Over there, I've got my WhatsApp for communication with the studio, which is, you know, well, it's been
it's
functional.
It's an education,
don't you think?
Isn't it?
It's educational and functional. Yeah. Over here, I've got my music, you know, which is always available to me at any time if I want to do... there's nothing. Well, if I want to do...
That's better.
Okay. Thank you. If I want to do that and get a bit retro. So I've got that over there, which is my little player on the other hand. Laptop in front of me and all sorts of other stuff. And, you know, where you are, it is absolute luxury compared with the situation that I'm in.
Yeah.
But this is the wartime spirit. I'm 6 weeks into it now, Hales. I don't know how, I mean, at least you're getting out of it. I have to say, I thought I saw the first signs today of me going absolutely stir crazy.
Well, you can play golf now and go to the beach if you want to.
Does that
help?
What happens if you've never played golf in the first place?
It's the perfect time to learn. It's actually mandatory now, I think. Boris has told you.
What, mandatory golf?
Mandatory golf.
I think Bozza should actually give us golfing lessons. I think, you know, because he hasn't appeared that much on the telly. I mean, for understandable reasons at the beginning of all of this, because he was not well, and we're very pleased he is well. But, you know, it would become a national thing if he could give a daily golfing lesson. And that would keep the nation occupied. It would give us something to do. And I think that might be an answer to it all. What do you say?
Oh, I think so.
Okay. You don't sound at all convinced. And look, I'm very rude. I haven't asked how your day has been.
Oh, it's been fine, just at home, obviously. I did go for my walk, though, and I was very proud of myself because it was quite cold today and I did have to talk myself into it. So it was one of those days where I was like, nah, I can't be bothered. It's too cold. It's too windy. But I made myself go and it did make me feel better after I went. So thumbs up to me.
I had a little look up into the sky just before I came on, before it started going dark. And it's just, the sky is like, you couldn't believe that like 2 days ago, the sun was cracking the flags, as we say, up in Liverpool. And tonight it was like, you know, as dark as a battleship. Anyway, let's get to our first caller.
Cool.
No more of this waffling and rabbiting, because it won't do anybody any good. Jerry in Stoke. How are you, Jerry?
I'm doing all right. How are you, Alex?
I'm all right, Jerry. What's going on with you?
Thank you. Coronavirus, do you realise a few weeks back when I was ill, I reckon we had it months ago in this country, because I was really bad a couple of months ago, and then we had it that bad this time, but it's really, I thought it was on death's door a couple of months ago, December, November. I'm sure it's been no longer than it's safe, but it was really bad, never encountered anything like it before.
Right. Was that you? I've got a bit of trouble with the return sound to me, Jerry. Was that you a couple of months ago, you were saying?
Yes, I was really ill and you were a couple of months ago.
I was in February, just for a week, though. I was lucky. I got away with it. I was okay. But were you okay?
Yes, sir.
Oh, hang on. We're having a conference now.
Terrible, not nice, not nice. Well, I'm doing well, I'm surviving. until I miss Howard.
All right, Jerry. You have a good night.
He's gone.
Okay, I think he's posed more questions than that he's asked tonight. But that's all right. Jerry, I hope you're okay. Somebody's and if you're not, right. Then you need to be calling us back. That's the most important thing. So anyway, today was one of them days. I did a podcast today, as you know, Hayley.
Yes.
So I got
how'd
that
it go?
Done.
Good.
And then I checked. Yeah, it was good. We did a podcast with a guy who was one of these regression hypnotherapists. So he takes you back in time. Back in time.
Oh.
And supposedly you visit lives that you've lived before.
Oh. Can you pick where you go or does it just has to happen? Or can you choose? Can you say, right, I want to go back to like 1900 and see what it's like?
I don't think you can select it. I think the idea is, I mean, if you believe this, and you know, not everybody does, we have to say, that we've all lived many lives before. And right. Sometimes as animals, can you believe that? Don't know what kind of animal I'd be.
I'd like to be a cat.
That could be. Well, you would be. You have very many feline qualities.
Get stroked all the time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a pink cat. Maybe the late and much loved Barbara Cartland. You don't remember Barbara Cartland, do you?
I
she do. Was a famous author.
Well, I know of her. I don't know if I actually
she signed
know
me
her.
A book. She lived in Worcestershire, and when I was on the radio in Worcestershire, I was supposed to be going to interview her. And she sent me a book. She said, in advance of you coming to see me, I'll send you a book. And the book was all pink. And the pen that she used to sign the book was pink. And she cited, all the very best, dear Howard. We'd never met. And I'm looking forward to our conversation. And then she went and died, unfortunately. Oh. God rest her soul. But she was like you. She was one of these pink people. Everything was pink. She would be wearing a pink shawl and everything
yeah.
else. I don't know. One of the things I didn't do.
Bob's texted, our friend Bob. He spelt Croydon right again this time, so we're doing well. It's a good start. I find Hayley a whirlpool of fascination, but on the other hand, Howard comes across as a nuclear reactor about to go into complete meltdown. Bob from Croydon.
I wouldn't say meltdown. I would say a dynamo of enthusiasm.
Well, it's the caffeine, isn't it? How many coffees have you had today?
Oh, only about three or four.
Oh, that's quite good for you, isn't it? No.
I mean, a big, you know, a fully caffeinated day is about 10 cups for me. So I'm doing very, very well, excuse me.
What time did you wake up this morning?
I think a more relevant question, I think, bearing in mind that I did the unexplained last night and finished, you know, I didn't get to bed till one-ish.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, it's better than having to travel home, let me put it that way. I got to bed at about 1:30 and then got to sleep about 3 and then was woken up by the birds at about 5:30 and then woke up again at 7:00 when somebody, I think a window cleaner came because I heard somebody's ladder up at the window. Not here, another part of the block that I live in. So there was that. And then I slept until about, after that little hiatus, I slept until about 9. So not exactly a cornucopia of sleep.
No.
But at least the one good thing about that with me is that, you know, I'm a lot quieter and a lot more. Have you noticed I'm more subdued now?
Yeah, no, Bob obviously wasn't listening last Wednesday because you were definitely about to react, I think.
Yeah, no, I think I'd had it. That was probably an 8 coffee day. And that's, you know, I'm not recommending that you, you know, you go for the old caffeine.
How big are the mugs that you're drinking? Are we talking like a proper mug? Or
this big. And if you've ever looked, you've never been to Liverpool, but if you've ever looked at the River Mersey, which is full of silt as it flows past the pier head, the mighty flowing waters of the Mersey, then the coffee that I've got tonight is that colour.
Right.
So there. And that was the sound of the cup going down on the palatial desk I've got next to me. It's all very sad. So anyway, I finished. This was. It's been a bit of a dysfunctional day, one way and another. I finished the podcast, and I was feeling quite happy with myself because, you know, it's going to be a good one. Edition 453, I think it'll be, by the time I've finished all the topping and tailing of it and sorting it out. And then I open up the email, and I've had some lovely emails recently, and as I've been sitting here and lying here and having my existence in this flat, going, you know, quietly stir-crazy for 6 weeks now, with the prospect of another 2 months of it or whatever still to come, I've had some lovely emails, lovely supportive emails from people all over the world saying nice things, telling me about their life in Canada and, you know, different places. There was a guy who emailed, I think he was originally a British guy, I think his name might be Rob, I haven't got the email here, but he was in Dubai and he emailed, and, you know, I get all these lovely emails. And then every 6 months I get one. Okay, one that basically says, I hate you. I hate the show. You waffle at the beginning of every show for 5 minutes talking about nothing. Well, that's supposed to be, you know, communicating with my listener. But okay, everybody's entitled to a view, so that's fine. And plus, you have no idea about any of the subjects you talk about. You just skirt over the top of all of them. And to cap it all, you are effectively, he didn't use these words, you're effectively a lackey of the mainstream media.
Oh,
you
wow.
accept everything they say without question.
Big fan then.
So I was wrong on all counts. And of course, these people who do that never sign their name. So I thought, thank you very much. So I had a long sit down and a cup of coffee after that.
Did you reply or just delete it?
I have to say, and you know, I could do with guidance from my listener about this one, because it's pointless replying, because if people have got an idea in their head, they may have never met you, they know nothing about you, but they've made their mind up about what you are, and they either love you or they absolutely detest you, even if they don't know you. That just goes with the territory. And it's just pointless to reply. However, I did. And I suggested, I just very nicely said, I think you've reached the stage where you have such a great knowledge of all of these things that you need to be doing a podcast yourself.
Yeah, let me know when it's uploaded and I'll listen. That's what you should say.
And I said. I said, and if you do, then please let me know. And by the way, it would have been nice if you'd given your name. So I did eventually get a name out of him, but we won't use the name. We won't embarrass Chris.
You're going to end up besties. If you're replying backwards and forwards, you're going to end up besties. You know that. It started rocky.
Do you think so?
But it might actually end up in a nice, good place. You never know.
How did you learn that then? How do you know that?
Know what?
Know that something can start like that. It's like it's bad love gone good.
Because you've actually an argument can create kind of a banter, for a better word, isn't it? It's like you create an energy.
So?
Yeah, of course. I've definitely made friends with people I've originally met and hated, and then I've learnt to like them, for sure.
So I was thinking, not that we do topics, because, you know, topics is boring, isn't it? But I was thinking kind of, you know, your best riposte, your best reply to somebody who's put you down. And
your
the best
comeback.
Ones are the ones that in, you know, there was one where somebody put me down once, and I just came back, I don't know where it came from, and I can't tell you who it was I came back to. And, you know, we're the best of friends. But he said some horrible things to me, and I said, at least I'm a nice person. So that was my riposte. And it'd be quite interesting to know, wouldn't it, really? So if you've ever been in a situation, usually, most of us, we have to say, don't know about you, Hales, if you're in a situation where somebody's having a go at you, sometimes it takes you so, you know, blindsided, you're just not ready for it, that you don't have anything ready to say. And then you walk away down the road, maybe you're fuming, and you think, if I had another 5 minutes, I'd have said that to him.
Yeah, but it's like when you walk out of an interview, isn't it? The next day, you think of all the great things you could have said.
Now, there's another rich mine, and a rich seam that we can mine tonight. My God, I've got some stories. Interviews, job interviews, or any sorts of interviews for any sort of position. You know, I've had some lovely ones, and I've had some absolutely horrendous ones over the years. One in particular in Carlisle, a woman who should be deeply ashamed of herself. We may tell that story during the show.
Sounds interesting.
And depending on how much coffee I've had, we might name the names. And let's get to 0344-499-1000. We are Talk Radio, the mighty blowtorch, the wick lighting up the sky on this night of lockdown. And let's get to Colin in Albury. Colin, how are you?
How are you, mate?
Oh, all right, Colin. How's Albury tonight? What's going on?
Well, it's just basically the same as ever. There doesn't ever seem to have been a lockdown here, but they just carry on. So
is that your neighbours?
Well, not particularly neighbours, but you go out to walk the dog, and then you see them just, you know, just loads of people, cars bumping into it. It's like there's nothing ever happened here. But I just carry on. I've built that page now on the Google now, the video page I've done, the website thing. And I put a video up there. So I've just...
I'll check it out. I can't check it out because I have limited technical equipment in front of me. I'll check it out later. But what have you put on it?
It's a tribute to the... I did put it on your Facebook page, on your chatting. There's a link there, I think.
Hang on, I'll have a look.
It's a tribute to the Spitfires. It was for VE Day.
Oh, yes, you did. You did, you did, you did. And I was rushing to get a bath and come in and do this, and I didn't see it. I've got it.
Yes,
absolutely.
Have a look at that, and that's my music at the back of it. I've just put some music to it, a tribute my little tribute to that. And it's also a stepping stone for me and my animals to get into that now, onto that certain bit of that page I've got, that Google thing. I forgot the name. It's what is it, video page? What
YouTube.
Do they call it? It's my YouTube page. That's it, our channel.
Now, I don't know whether my phone's 4G is going to do this, but I've got homage to our brave spirit. This is a great bit of video. I don't know whether I've got sound on this. Let me check.
Yeah, that's
there's the sound. Hey, nicely done, Colin. Where did you get the footage of the Spitfire?
Well, I found it on... I couldn't get out myself, so I found a couple of people who filmed... did some filming, and I've put a tribute to them as, you know, acknowledgements to them, and I've just spliced it and edited it a bit, put my music in. Hopefully it's a tribute. It'll do the film justice and the craft itself.
You know, I mean, they were wonderful planes. And do you know something? I didn't know this. I saw a TV program on VE night. Well, that was Saturday, wasn't it? Last week. Or was it Friday? The days just meld into one. Friday. Yeah. It was a program about the Spitfire. And the Spitfire was still flying for... which country was it now? Was it Canada or Bermuda? One of the countries, the Spitfire was still flying well into the mid-50s.
Yeah, well, it was a lovely plane for its day. I mean, incredible technology for its day, and it didn't half turn things around. And it did a lot to defend this country. I mean, Kent, and the skies over Kent was, you know, my granddad used to say, there'll be some spitting in a minute when he used to see him coming over. Spitting in a minute.
And if you think of what they were made of, I think they were wooden with a canvas frame, but what they had that made them unique was that Merlin engine. They had a really powerful engine that meant they could go fast and manoeuvre.
Made them very, very light and very manoeuvrable.
So they and the Germans didn't have anything like it.
Yeah, I'd like people to go and have a look at that, because it'd be nice for them to hear the music. And, you know, when I start doing the animal videos, the music is what's going to be at the back of them. You see,
I don't know whether Haley's got a way that we can put Haley. You're the more technical person here than I am.
Well, I think Sam might be the most technical. Well, you can do it on your personal page. Yeah, we can't do it on the Talk Radio page. We don't have that power.
Oh, do we not have that?
No, we don't have that power.
Oh, that's so miserable. Colin, listen, so it's on my Facebook page. So basically, if my listener wants to go to The Unexplained with Howard Hughes official Facebook page, scroll down all of the messages for today, because I put a message up about today, which is where you posted a link to the video, and you can see it there. That's where I've just got it now. But it's a nice bit of editing, Colin.
Yeah, well, I've tried my best with it, and, you know, it's the kind of thing you can expect when I do the film of the crows and the dogs. And all of the stuff I'm going to put together with them. So that's the kind of thing that's good. It's going to be a beautiful thing when I've done it, because I used to be an artist and I was a musician for years. So I've only just picked an instrument up the last... after 20 years, I've only just picked an instrument up again.
So, did you play for us when we were on a month or so ago? Or would you not do it? I can't remember.
No, it wasn't me. It was somebody else that was.
If we like music, don't we, Hales?
Oh, I love a bit of music. Have you got an instrument near you, Colin?
Not now, right, not near me, because what I have to do is go to it, set it all up, and this time of night, the neighbours would moan their heads off.
What about tomorrow? If we'd said 10 o'clock tomorrow, could we make that a date?
Well, I'll have a think about it.
Oh, God, have a good think about it.
I'll have a think if I can do it, because, like I say, the neighbours will be going nuts. I've got an old man in front of me, he's 88. He's in bed by about 8 o'clock.
Well, no, it'll cheer him up. Cheer him up. You're good at this stuff. If you put that video together, maybe you could just record yourself, and then we can just send it to us, and we'll do the rest. How about that?
Well, yeah, if 10 o'clock's too late tomorrow, then send us a recording somehow, and we'll play it out.
Yeah, I could certainly get you a recording, and then you could just play that, maybe. Yeah, I could do that.
That's easy, and that's less pressure on you, and you can do it whenever you feel like. Colin, we've got a deal.
Do you want it the same sort of thing as that, or do you want it to be heavier? What do you want?
Whatever you like. Whatever's easiest for you. We're easy.
Whatever comes to your heart.
I can rock things up for you and do things like that if you want. On something a bit rockier. People have seen that, they'll know I can do that.
Give us a bit of the old Brian May.
Bit of Brian May, all right then.
Okay.
Okay, I'm busy tomorrow then now. Okay.
Well, see, I'm glad we've helped. Colin, thank you for that. Colin in Albury, if you would like to be part of this, if you have a riposte, a put down that has been the greatest one of your life, that you felt really proud of yourself when you've done it, we'd like to hear it. You might even want to direct it at Hayley. I don't know. 0344 499 1000. We are Talk Radio in the nighttime.
Late Night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
Just playing this because I like it.
Oh, I love this song.
George Michael, I'll tell you a story about this when we've heard a little
That's
bit.
A really it's sad such a great song.
I know, it was about his mum.
I
loved
know.
His mum.
Oh, I might cry.
He was, here goes another name dropping. He was such a nice man. But I'll tell you the story when you've heard just a tiny little bit of this.
I might need to use the antiseptic wipes as tissue soon. This is such a sad song.
Have one of mine.
No, thanks.
Just thought we needed a bit of chilling, you know? A lot of things to think about.
Oh, no,
a lot of stuff on our minds
lovely.
At the moment.
I just wasn't expecting you to play it, that's all.
Well, I'll tell you a story about that, too, in a minute.
She takes the back road and the lane, past the school that has not changed in all this time. She thinks of when the boy was young, all the battles she had won. Just
to is it too much for you now, Hales?
No, I love it.
That man, she loved that man for all his life. And now we need to take him flowers.
God, I'm gonna go now.
you chose it.
No, it's a story, though. I'll tell you the story.
Go on, then. Tell us the story.
You can't wait, can you?
No, go on. For what's the use in
pressing pause? Well, you know, I play the music off a little handheld recorder.
Yes.
And it was meant to play track 73, and it played track 72.
Oh.
But I'm sort of glad it did.
What was 71? I need to know that now. That's the first thing
I think
need
it
to
was,
know.
I think it was Dua Lipa.
Okay.
It was somebody like Dua Lipa. It was somebody like that.
You played her the other night, and me and Amy were shocked that you even knew who Dua Lipa was.
Well,
I nearly fell off my
chair. I'm
going to
shock you again tonight. In fact, it was the plan to shock you once more. Sadly, my plan went awry.
Have you got Snoop Doggy Dogg or something lined up?
Oh, you'd be surprised at what I've got on here. I mean, do you want a full track listing? It's probably going to be too
West,
boring. Kanye
West, who have you got? Stormzy. Oh, Sam thinks you've got Stormzy.
No, I don't have Stormzy.
Do you know who Stormzy is?
Well, we can get Stormzy.
What's his biggest track?
Of course I know who Stormzy is. Oh, I have no idea. That's not fair. I've got this.
And you can't Google either.
Now, this is music. That's George. We had George Michael. This is Michael McDonald, his brother. Now, during all of this, Michael, you don't know who Michael McDonald is. He's been doing concerts from his home, little gigs from his home in his kitchen. And because he's such a professional, he can just do it in the kitchen. Now, we've got to listen to his voice now, because I've gone and teed it up. And will I have time to tell my George Michael story?
Go on. You've got all the time in the world.
Now, listen to that. That voice there, Michael McDonald, is like treacle. Excuse me? As much as we love Stormzy, I don't think he's got a voice like that. I rest my case. You're not going to agree, are you?
But,
okay.
Yeah, many wouldn't.
Okay.
I'm going to sit on the fence.
That's when you go quiet, that's when I start worrying.
Yeah,
no, George Michael, lovely, lovely man. You know, back in my days, did I ever mention that I once worked for a radio station in London that doesn't exist anymore called Capital Radio?
Oh, you might have
and
done,
George
I'm
Michael.
Not sure. You mentioned somebody called Chris
George
Tarrant too, who I can't recall. You've mentioned it a few times, but...
Okay, no, just the once or twice. George Michael was a big mate of the boss. And he would always help us out on charity appeals and stuff. And he was just a generally good guy. I mean, this is quite a sad story, but this is a story that I don't think has been told on the radio before now, so we can tell it. When Princess Diana died, we were all involved in, you know, that week. I had to break the news on the air. I know it's years ago. And, you know, that was a big challenge for all of us, really. And we had to get through that week. And then at the end of the week, of course, we had the build-up to the funeral and the whole, you know, ceremonial of the thing. So George Michael donated the backing track to that song that I played. And I sat in a studio with somebody called Mike, and we mixed together clips of the week of Diana and people speaking like George Clooney saying, the paparazzi will have to answer for this and all that sort of stuff. And we told the story of the week and of her life across the backing track. We just kind of laid all of that sound across it. And it was rather lovely. And so I think it's been lost. I don't think they've got a copy. I've got a copy somewhere.
Oh, of course you do. I think you keep everything, yeah. Don't you?
I had a little, there was a phase when I would record everything that I did. And then I realised that some of it was not very good. And I decided to stop. I was once stopped by a boss called Norman when I worked in Worcester. I used to disc jockey occasionally on Radio Wyvern in Worcester. And, you know, I was probably 25 and I wasn't very good. And I haven't improved. But I would take a recorder into the studio with me and I would record every time I spoke, I'd record it. And then when the record was playing, I'd play it back to see if it was any good. Mm. And Norman came in and said, get that machine out of here. So there.
Oh.
You're not impressed, are you?
Loving it.
You're loving it. God, Hales. Come on now. 0344-499-1000. We are Talk Radio. It's Howard Hughes. Hayley Hayes here. Look lively. Let's get to Sharon in Middlesbrough. Sharon, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing quite well. It's nice to listen to a radio show that's full of joy.
Well, you know, we try. Yeah. You know, if you look at the news, and I am a newsman, and most of what I do during the day, from the moment I open my eyes in the morning, Sharon, I turn it on and I have to, like most of us, you've just got to endure it. You've got to know what's going on.
Yeah.
And then I get to a stage in the evening where I just want to turn it off and I just can't stand looking at it or listening to it anymore. Are you like that?
Yeah, and that's why I've started to listen to a lot more radio. Radio, like music during the day, and on the night I listen to a little bit more serious stuff. But it's just nice just to, you know, talk about just ordinary things for a change.
Yeah, because I think a lot of us have tended to, because of this situation, and we all know that we've got to find a way through it, and we all know that it's serious. I think we're aware of that fact, apart from the idiots who go out and ignore all the rules. But apart from them, all of us know how serious this is. But you have to be able to, what I've learned to do is, even though I'm a news junkie, I've just learned to turn it off and put something else on. You know, like the other night on the telly, they had an old Dad's Army that I've seen 1,000 times. The one where, you know, Mannering says, don't tell him, Pike. And I've seen that.
Don't get what?
Don't tell him, Pike.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You know, they captured they had the captured U-boat crew in the church hall. Yeah. And the captain of the U-boat says, I'm going to take your name. What is your name? And Pike is at the top of the ladder. He says, Mr. Mannering, don't tell him. Oh, no, he says, Mr. Mannering. And he says, don't tell him your name, Pike. Or don't tell him, Pike. He wants to know my name. It was, anyway, they tell it better than I do. But, you know, there was just a little break from all of this. And I think we needed that. We just need to be able to balance it. We need to know what's going on in the world, and we get news bulletins here on Talk Radio on the hour every hour at night time, so we know what's happening. But the thing about it is, Sharon, it's something that we've got to react to, but us ordinary people, me in my suburb and you in your suburb, there's nothing much we can do about it.
Can I just say about George Michael that you were...
Oh, yes.
George Michael. And I was seeing this guy, and I said, you know, I said, I don't really rate George Michael, you know. I remember from, like, the, you know, the Wham days when I was a kid. And he played me this track, and I think it's written by somebody else called Rufus Wainwright, I think, A Town Like This.
Okay, we'll find it.
Oh, my God. It just completely changed my mind. It's about America.
And it's called A Town Like This?
Yes. Something like a town. It's something along those lines. And I think it's by Rufus Wainwright.
Okay, even though I'm in the suburbs, 16 miles away from Hayley, Sam, our technical operative, who's been very quiet tonight, Sam, we've deputed Sam to find it, and we're going to play it for you, Sharon.
It is, honestly, he just plays it, it's live, just him and a piano, and I just thought, God, that man can sing.
Oh, apparently it's by Rufus Wainwright, and it's called Going to a Town.
Going to a town or coming from a town.
Yeah, it's going to a town.
Going to a town.
You don't know whether he's coming or going, do you?
I don't know if I'm coming or going, no. So, but it's going to a town, and it is beautiful. Because I'd grown up with, like, Faith, the Wham stuff, which was quite, you know, poppy and Stock Aitken and Waterman-ish, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm.
So I didn't really appreciate that he had such a beautiful voice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, I think in his last 10 years, he was close to... Well, I think he wasn't close to it. He was at the genius point. But he was completely different from the beginning. You know, he was part of the machine at the beginning. It was all pop music. But at the end, he was in control, and you heard the result. And a lovely man, too, you know. I can remember the radio station in London took us all for a fish dinner. We went to a fish restaurant called Zilly Fish. And we were upstairs there, and we were all having our free company food. And they said, there's somebody special downstairs. And in a little private room downstairs was George Michael. And one of our lot, who wasn't shy like I am, went down. And he was so, when we went down, he was so nice. He was really nice and very, very ordinary guy. So, you know, happy memories of George Michael.
Lately, just said a story that he'd come into when they were doing This Morning. And he'd invited him over for lunch. Didn't think he'd come, and he'd come, and he said he was just lovely, so ordinary, laid back, and what a really nice guy he was.
Totally.
So were you in the music industry?
Was I in the music? Well, I was. Yeah. No, I wasn't. I was on a music radio, a big music radio station, so I knew a lot of those people, and we were lucky enough that, you know, a lot of famous people came into the building, so sometimes I got to meet them. You know, occasionally I used to say as a joke that I couldn't stand Lionel Richie. And I quite like Lionel Richie, but I used to pretend that I didn't like him. And I used to say, oh, I can't stand that insipid Lionel Richie, hate the man. Then when he came into London, when he came to London, they made me interview him. And he was the nicest person. He's got this great big smile, and he's just a lovely, lovely, lovely man.
Yeah.
That's another story. That's just me dropping names again, Sharon.
Drop some more. Is there any you can say that were really just...
You've met Kylie Minogue, haven't you? I don't think you've told that story before.
No. I've got on with most people. I didn't particularly get on too well with Samantha Fox. I think I probably asked her all the wrong questions.
Oh.
Kylie was lovely. Kylie's very little. But very sweet.
Yeah, and doesn't she look fantastic?
Oh, she, you know, she was absolutely lovely, but I was amazed that she was on a stool, and, you know, I think she had to jump down from the stool. It's very, very little, but very, very sweet. And she said two words to me that I will never forget. She said, and she looked at you, she's got these eyes, she looked into my eyes with those eyes, and she said, "Hello, Howard." And I melted. I don't think I could speak after that.
I think I just melted.
So, I tell you what we're going to do, Sharon, unless there's anything else you'd like to bring to my attention.
Just how fabulous that song is, and thank you for brightening my evening up.
Oh, well, it's our pleasure, and, you know, that's what we're here to do. I mean, Hayley and I are only here for one more night. Thank God, our listener says. So we're going to do our stuff our way, and hang the consequences, I say. Well, Sharon, listen, have a good night. We're going to give you a treat. We're going to go to some commercials, but before we go to the commercials, we're going to play you Rufus Wainwright, Going to a Town, and thank you, Sharon.
I'm going to a town that has already been burnt down. I'm going to a place that has already been disgraced. I'm gonna see some folks who have already been let down. I'm so tired of America. the Sunday times. I'm gonna make it up for all of the nursery rhymes that never really seem to want to tell the truth. I'm so tired of you, America, making my own.
Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
I think we've got to lift it a bit after Rufus Wainwright. Oh 344 499 1000 is the number for Talk Radio. If you want to tweet us on the Twitter, then you can tweet us at Talk Radio. If you want to text in the time-honored fashion, then you can. You can text Talk and then a space and your message to 87222, and all of them things will reach us. But it will be nice to speak with you, because I'm only here for this night and tomorrow night with Hayley, just the two of us for two nights, and then we're just gone.
We will might vanish. Be back.
You never know that
you never know. We're one of those things that you just never know, so it keeps you on your toes, doesn't it?
We're sort of like a bad penny, like my mother used to say.
Yeah, keep turning you just up. Never quite
keep
know.
Turning up like a bad penny. I don't know. But, you know, so that's why, and all of them people, including Glenn Val, Manji Paul, Mark, Lara, John, Alan, Jane, Chris, Michael, Steve, Guy, Paul, Colin, Lynn, Gidget, Martin, Vinny, Gary, Peter, Steve, and all the others.
Are you just reading out the yellow this pages afternoon. Now?
No, those are people.
They're real people.
To my Facebook
Bob.
Page. They're
Shall
real
I try?
People. Excuse me?
Bob, Sharon, Lucy, Sarah, Sharon.
What are they on the screen
work?
Now?
No, they're just names.
And you didn't even give me time to say hello to Aid, Anthony, Isabel, Steve-O and Philip, Gilbert, Daz, Rob, Clint, Helen, Roger and Derek.
Oh, right. Yeah, don't forget Derek.
And there's a point to what I'm saying.
Right.
In that all of those people who I know are listening, call us. We want to talk. You know, we're here to talk. Otherwise, I'm going to have to talk to Hayley for hours.
I have to talk to you for 3 hours.
I know. I mean, it's bad enough when we can see each other. You imagine what it's like when we're just sort of disembodied voices, separated by 16 miles of virgin territory. I don't know. Whatever. So should we get to Shane in Sydney then?
Yes.
Right, because we've got callers. I mean, you know, a lot of this comes from the unexplained. We have an international fan... Well, I say fan base. I won't say fan base.
You should
we have an
t-shirts.
International reach on the unexplained. Well, somebody once suggested that they would do me a deal on T-shirts. and I could... they would basically give me the T-shirts for nothing.
Oh.
I don't know how that was meant to work.
Were they off the back of the lorry or something?
No, I know. I think
the
guy
legit.
Was...
Fruit fact, of the loom
the
and everything.
No, I think they were probably, you know, Russian T-shirts, like the Russian video recorders. I don't know. But no, they had my logo, The Unexplained with Howard Hughes. If you go to my website, theunexplained.tv, you will see the logo that Adam, my webmaster, designed for me. And this guy put the logo on the T-shirt, and he said, because I love the show, can't give you any money, but I'll give you this many hundred T-shirts.
Oh.
And we never quite got round to doing it. So the idea is not as daft as it may sound.
Do it. You should have people walking around the streets with your face on their chest.
I think we'll be causing
Shane,
people a few problems.
Would you sport one in Sydney? Would you walk around Sydney with a Howard Hughes T-shirt on?
Oh, I don't think so, Ellie.
Really? Why not?
No, I would actually.
You would.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll walk around London with a Shane T-shirt. When we're allowed to walk around London, I'll walk around London with a Shane T-shirt on, and you can walk around with one of mine. How about that, Shane?
Oh, no, that's a one-off, mate. Everyone run away in horror, mate.
Hey, listen, now, come on, the thing that we always have to start with here is what time of day and what day is it in Sydney?
It's 7:47 a.m. on Tuesday morning, mate.
All right. And what's going on in Sydney? And from what I'm hearing in the news, you are pretty much back to normal in Sydney, Shane. Is that right?
That's right. We're on stage one. All the schools went back yesterday. Friday, here in New South Wales, Friday the cafes, restaurants will be opening, but you're only going to limit to 10 people. And I don't think a lot of restaurants aren't going to open, I don't think, because it's not going to be viable for them.
Right. I mean, I would have thought they could probably have people outside and they could serve them on the pavement or something, couldn't they?
Yeah, probably. But that's what I heard on the news. They did just say it wouldn't be viable, 10 people, mate. But, I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying that it's the thing they're talking about here, because they're talking about maybe July for cafes, maybe in some limited way, possibly to start then. And I think we're all going to be watching you guys to see how it works there.
Yeah, well, July, that's our last period of it. That's when the cinemas and pubs and clubs will be open then. So you see how we go then, mate.
Because you know what? I have to say, Shane, because a lot of us are in lockdown and I've been in four walls in a little flat for 6 weeks, apart from going out to the supermarket and maybe going out for half an hour of cycling every day or every other day. You know, that's all I see. So just remind me, what is normal life like? Just tell me what that's like, because I've forgotten.
Oh, I wouldn't have a clue, Howard. I've lost track of time and days, and eating habits is up in the air, and you know, everything's just chaotic, right? I'm sick of looking at these four walls.
But you're going to be able to get back to... So what is normal? If you're getting back to normal then, what is going to be normal for you?
Just going at the major department stores, or going to the club, going to the town, you know? Just back to normal life and a bit of normality. You know, people... Just seeing people around the streets and whatever,
And have they told you that when you all get back to normal, if everything's okay and it doesn't look like the disease is back in any big way, have they told you then this really is the end of it for you?
No, they're talking about there might be another second wave of this virus, which I hope is not right, but that's what they're saying. Is it the same in the UK? Are they saying that, Howard?
Well, yeah. They don't really know yet. But the best guess is that there might be some kind of bounce back at some point. But nobody really knows how big that bounce back might be and what kind of form it would take. So it looks like it's exactly the same. How are Aussie people, though, who are very, from my experience of visiting Australia a couple of times, lucky enough to go there? You know, you take a lighter view of life, I think, than a lot of us do. So how are Aussie people bearing up under all of this? Because we don't get to hear. How's it been for you?
It's been a bit tough, mate. But yeah, as you're right, it's usually, she'll be right, mate. But I think this virus, society's completely changed. I mean, as I said last time I was speaking to you, we had the bushfires and floods and drought and all that. And we really banded together, you know, we're united. But this virus has sort of tore us apart, you know.
Yeah, it's just one more thing. Well, listen, please look after yourself, Shane. And I love getting your messages when I'm on air on a Sunday night. It's really nice to see that you're there. And to think that a radio show coming out of a little apartment in London is reaching all the way down to Sydney. So please take care and give my love to Australia.
Okay, thank you, Howard, Hayley, Sam. Thank you.
Take care.
All right, take care.
Okay,
and because we're international, take care. Thank you, Shane. That's Shane, regular unexplained listener in Sydney. He's been with the show for years, Hayley. He has. Mm-hmm. And now we're talking to him. Let's get to New Zealand. We have an international reach here. Let's get to Pete in New Zealand. Hello, Pete.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm good. Is that Pete in Christchurch?
Yeah. Long-time listener. I've been listening to your podcast for ages.
I get messages from you. Now, listen, New Zealand is the place where everything is normal, isn't it? You know, you haven't really had it like we've had it at all.
Oh, we did have a lockdown. Jacinda was onto it. That's the Prime Minister. She was onto it before anyone had really got it. She stopped all the flights in, and like everyone who came. I've got a mate who was on holiday in Thailand. When he came back, they got him, put him in a hotel, quarantined for 2 weeks, and he's not allowed to go out. There's a security guard by the lift. He's in a 5-star hotel. So, but she was onto it. She shut us all down for 4 weeks immediately. And you were only allowed to go to the doctors, chemists, or the supermarket. All supermarkets.
And when did they do that, Pete? When did they start that?
That was about 6 weeks ago. So, and about, so, and then 2 weeks ago, she changed it from level 4, which was severe lockdown, to what she's called level 3, which was partial. Now I've been back at work 2 weeks. I'm just working on, I'm a Sparky, working on an old folks home. I am, there's no old folks in it though. But work, I'm just working on a normal building site. And it's normal really for me. I just get up and go to work and go home. But the kids
right, so,
are not back at school yet.
Right, and when's that going to happen?
Oh, I think she made an announcement yesterday. She's going to go down to phase 2, and then the kids, like, at the moment, policemen, ambulance people's kids can go to school, but anyone who can work from home, their kids can't go to school. My kids go to school on, like, a Skype thing. No, not Skype, Zoom. And so they,
right, so they get virtual lessons.
Yeah.
So when did you... You told me in all those emails over all these years, when did you leave here to go there? How long have you been there for?
2003, I actually moved here. But I first came here in 99. And then I got married on 2003, mm-hmm. on the day England won the New Zealand... won the Rugby World Cup. That was the day I got married. And then we flew out here straight after that. Been coming and going ever since.
So 17 years, you must be liking it.
Oh, it's all right. Yeah, I miss my mum. I wanted to come home. I was going to come home in July. My mum's 85. But, 85. But, so she's locked down at the moment. My brother's getting her shopping. So as soon as all this is sorted, I shall fly home and give her a big cuddle, if it's allowed.
Yeah, no, you have to. 85, you've got to get back here. God knows when we can fly back here. And, of course, there's the thing they're talking now about there being a quarantine. So if you were to come here... For all I know, you might have to go into quarantine for a bit, but presumably, I don't know how that would work. Would you go into quarantine with your family there? I don't think you could.
I'd have to.
Unless you could guarantee...
Oh, I don't know.
Unless you could guarantee you weren't going to come out. There are lots of details to be worked out. But listen, it's nice to hear from you. And it looks like, by the sounds of it, everything that I hear about New Zealand is that, there was a plan from the beginning and now you're coming out of it. And it's good for us to be able to look at you because eventually, hopefully, if everything works out here, that's where we're going to go.
But we have, because we've only had, like, I don't know how many deaths. It'd be, like, in the 20s. So we've had very, very few cases. So we'd be, like, if somebody landed here... It would just go, the virus would just spread exponentially again. Because we got no herd immunity, we got nothing. So unless there's a vaccine, Jacinda's not going to open the airports for a long time.
Right, because you're literally in the middle of the Pacific. Listen, very rude of me, I didn't ask, did you call for any specific reason? And there I just steamed straight in.
I did, you did. But I did call, I just wanted to say... All right, breath of fresh air, mate. I really love your show. They should give you Ian space a bit more often, I think.
Oh, no, I don't think so. He is the master at this, but, there'll be a place for me. There'll be a cupboard under the stairs for me somewhere, Pete, I think. I don't know. But at the moment, I've literally been in my apartment for 6 weeks. So I know how that feels. It is, I'm pretty good at coping with these things, but there are days when you look at the walls and you think you're going to go stir crazy.
What does your hair look like?
How's yours?
My wife's a hairdresser, so mine's the same as normal.
You've got all the advantages there. No, I mean, look, mine is starting to... I mean, it's not pretty. It's scraggly. I'm not going to take a picture of it, because somebody will ask me. It's starting to begin to creep down my back.
Go on, put a photo on your Facebook page for a laugh.
Yeah. And was that... apart from saying that very nice thing that you said... was there anything else you'd like to say? All the way from New Zealand?
No, that was fine. Oh, just send my love to everyone at home in England and tell them there's light at the end of the tunnel.
What's your mum's name?
Ruth.
Ruth. Well, I don't know whether she'll be listening, but maybe we can give you a recording of it. But Ruth, when's her birthday?
June the 14th.
Okay, she's a Gemini like me. Ruth, fellow Gemini, from Pete and from me and Haley and Sam, happy birthday for June. It's only a month away. Well, listen, Pete, I hope you're able to get up here when we're able to do all of that stuff. It's just a mess, isn't it, at the moment? But, you know, eventually we'll be able to turn around, look in the rearview mirror, and it'll all be gone. And we'll just talk about it as a thing that happened in 2020. You know, we'll just say it was the reason we had to write off the year of 2020. Pete, thank you. Take care. And I love getting your emails from New Zealand. Keep them coming.
All right. Thanks very much, mate. Cheers. Love to you all.
Take care. That's Pete. Originally from the UK, now in Christchurch, New Zealand, just proving the international spread of my show, my other show, my Sunday show, here on Talk Radio. Howard Hughes with Hayley Hayes here. If there's anything you would like to discuss, if there's any point that you would like to make about life, the world and anything, if you feel that there is something that we are missing and that we haven't addressed, then I'm sure that Hayley would be pleased to, you know, allow you freedom of the airways. She is the producer, by the way, so I have to do what I'm told usually. It's a bit of a pain, and I have to be kept in check from time to time. But I understand that there are rules that have to be obeyed, and if you don't obey the rules, then you don't get paid. So
it's
the number
for
to
the
call
good of it.
Is...
It's all for the good. Well, it's like Boris. It's like, pay attention, and in the end, it'll all be good. And it's the same with the advice that I give you, Howard. It might not seem brilliant at the time, but in the long run, it's good for you.
But when, in the dark, lonely hours, when I have time to reflect on it, then suddenly the light goes on and it means something. Now, our number here at Talk Radio is 0344-499-1000. On the Twitter, it is at Talk Radio, but we'd rather speak with you. And if you want to text us, it's text TALK and then a space in your message to 87222. And I remembered all three of those things, which I think is mightily impressive, bearing in mind I'm sitting here in a pair of knackered old tracksuit bottoms and my holy socks. This is Talk Radio.
Late Night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
And nice to hear my chum Russell Hargreaves. Many a chinwag we've had in other places. 0344 499 1000 across the UK. We are Talk Radio.
No one told you that was going to be this way. Your job's a joke, you broke. Your love life's the other way. It's like you're always stuck in second gear. When it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, or even your year. But I'll be there for you. When the rain starts to fall, I'll be there for you.
In the nighttime, with myself and Ailey Hayes, doing our job, doing the business, doing the stuff.
Stuff.
Across the UK in the nighttime.
It's more than stuff.
No, well, it's, you know, you don't be getting ideas above your station now, Hayley.
Oh, really? We just do stuff.
No. Well, no, we, you know, we're just part of the continuum of life, I like to think of it. Oh. I'm so full of it, aren't I?
Yeah.
Listen, I've got here, you know, we played that tune for Sharon, that tune by whatever his name was, Norman Rochester or something. Norman Wainwright. I thought he was a cabinet minister. Norman Wainwright, Minister for the Rural Environment. I'd never heard that one before. And it's all been solved for me now. And I've got the answer here. And I've literally got my phone in my hand. And I wonder if I can find that without embarrassing myself and turning myself into a complete fool. No, there was somebody who sent me the correct George Michael version of that song, and I'm going to try and find it on my phone if I can, in amongst the now 1,835 reactions to my post on my Facebook page about this show tonight that I've had. But so it's buried in all the messages here. And my phone, I've got a great big ham hock of a hand, and I'm trying to find this thing. And there's no way that you can help me, Haley, because you're so far away. But I'll try and find it anyway, and we'll do it when we can do it. 0344-499-1000, the mighty Talk Radio, siding through the night like a fluorescent tube on heat. let's get to Nigel in Fair... I don't know where Fair Oak is. Nigel in Fair Oak, you're on Talk Radio. How are you, Nigel?
Oh, hi. Do you know what I want to do, what I want to assume now, is that I've always thought this is an area where we were having the Battle of Agincourt, but it was a fanfare for the common man, for the common peace, for the common good, for the commonwealth, for the common better of the good. And then
I thought, wasn't fanfare for the common man a tune?
Pardon?
Wasn't that a tune that went, Fanfare for the Common Man was like, who was it now?
They used it as an attack, didn't they? The Fanfare for the Common Man was da-da-da. It was like...
Da-da-da.
Space Oddity.
Yeah,
and the music I picked up on very later on, and if you can, I don't know whether you can, but it's a fantastic tune. It's a one-hit wonder of all one-hit wonders. And the 60s looked at it and it was gone. Classical Gas.
Oh, Mason Williams. Oh, Sam, can you find that? I mean, that's going to cheer us all up. Thank you for... Hey, listen, thank...
If you don't play that, then you've ruined the Fanfare for the Common Man. That is today's Fanfare for the Common Man.
But I have to say, now, you know, my listener, and certainly...
No, take your tracksuit bottoms off. Go and put some tight shorts on.
But, hey, listen, Mason Williams, though...
A couple of Victoria Plums and a banana. And do the 100 meters.
It's almost as if he's been in this flat, but the door's been locked for 6 weeks now. He couldn't possibly know the truth. But Hayley, that sounded remarkably close to the truth.
Yeah, when you bust the tape, put some oranges in your back pocket.
Nigel, what are you on?
I dare you to play that. If I'm on delay, I don't blame you.
All right, listen, Mason Williams, Classical Gas. We can find.
Make sure the
banana and the apples might be a bit of a problem.
You look at your partner. Say, is that you?
I suspect it would be no big surprise, I have to say. I don't think it would be any big surprise to anybody. Yeah. Where is Fair... Listen, before you go, where is Fair Oak, Nigel?
It's near Fairgrounds.
It's near where?
Fairgrounds. Fair Oak is on Fairgrounds. And we have travellers come. It's near Eastleigh. It's in Eastleigh, Hampshire. But there are two. There's one in Devon.
Of course I know. Yeah, no, you are just south of...
I know exactly
where you are. You are near Eastleigh, where all the trains go.
Yeah, we used to have the fastest, well, Doncaster to Edinburgh, and then from Edinburgh to Waterloo.
And Waterloo, in the other direction, Waterlooville, as they call it.
Yeah, well, I did my apprenticeship in a place called Cranfield, and I worked for a company that were brilliant, absolutely brilliant. They were called Miller's. And when I used to go out, and when I was a nipper and when drinking underage, they used to say to me, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a chippy. She said, what, you work in a chip shop? I said, no. She said, who do you work for? I said, Miller's. She said, you choose to pull pies.
Do you know why I know Fair Oak and I know Eastleigh? Because I used to live in that area. I used to work in that area years ago.
It wasn't me, right, but I went to Sevenoaks. I went to Sevenoaks and I was there, right, and I walked in and they went, oh, there, how's this? And then the bloke said, you know that, you know, Blazing Saddles, telegram from Mungo. This bloke came in, he said, is that Mr. Winch in here? And I said, yes, over here. He said, oh, this is for you. And it was an egg box, or it looked the size of an egg box. It was all done in brown paper. And I said, is that mine? He said, what is it? I said, it's my wages. She came over and she said, excuse me, my name's this. I said, yeah. She said, you don't happen to come from the West End, do you? I said, no. She said, I've got a friend who likes you. Who's that? I said, who's that then? She said, Nicky the Beaut.
Okay. Nigel, I think you're channeling Norman Wisdom. What do you say, Hayley?
Definitely. No, I love Norman Wisdom, so it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Norman
and they love him in Romania.
Yeah, that's right. No, so, he was good. Benny Hill, the legend.
Benny Hill lived about a mile from where I'm speaking from now, and they had a blue plaque on his flat.
Yeah, that's right, he's there, I've been there. And do you know what's there now? There's a brilliant dance place where they bring ballerinas in from the age of three.
And then I didn't know that.
Yeah, they train them up, and then when they train them to do Swan Lake.
I didn't know that. That's Teddington by the River Thames, where Thames Television used to be, and that is where Benny Hill used to work. Now, we found out some information for you, Nigel, in Fair Oak, near East Lee, in Hampshire.
It's been a pleasure. It's been a fantastic ride, thank you very much. And I'm fanfare for the common man. And
Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Now you're cooking. Now you're cooking with electric gas.
Emerson, you are a top man, Nigel. Thank you for that. Nigel in Eastleigh, who is definitely channeling Norman Wisdom, I think. Emerson Lake, I was trying to remember, and he was trying to remember. It's Emerson Lake and Palmer Fanfare for the Common Man. It goes, dum, 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 dum. And Mason Williams, Classical Gas. Now, this is, in the history of music, there haven't been many tunes that have been just one instrument solos, okay? Like somebody just kind of playing a piano or something like that. There have been a few. But this one got to, I think it got to number one, and I think the year was probably something like 1969. This is a guitar tune. If you've never heard it before, and for Nigel, who loves it, and I love it too, and Haley's going to discover it, this is going to be a treat. Mason Williams, Classical Gas. It's going now. Wait till they play the horn. There it goes. Not many things that leave Hayley Hayes speechless. I think this is probably one of them. You've never heard that before, have you?
No, I have. I just said to Sam, I recognised it. The riff.
I just don't think anybody makes music like that now. I mean, there isn't really a chart as we used to speak of the chart. I know they do the chart on some radio stations, but I think part of it is about downloads. But yeah. I don't think if anybody made like a guitar tune like that, in 2020, they just wouldn't have a chance of getting a hit.
It's all synthesizers now, isn't it? It's all made-up music. No instruments, it's just made on the computer.
I thought it was all gobbing and rapping.
Yeah, some of that too. Gobbing and rapping.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with a bit of gobbing and rapping.
Is that a category on iTunes, gobbing and rapping?
Yeah,
fancy some gobbing and rapping today. Let's have a look on Spotify and see what they got.
I'm still laughing about Nigel in Fair Oak. You know, I think I was just about following where he was going. But no, where he lives, though, it's a great big railway area. You know, all the trains what go down to Bournemouth and then split off to Portsmouth, I think, and go to Southampton. They all go through where he lives.
Ah.
And it's a nice place.
It was 1968, by the way, the song.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it? And does it tell you what whether it was a hit? I thought it was number one.
I haven't gone that far.
It's still number one.
It's obviously been number one. But somebody says Paul Young, Common People, is a better track. It's quite a good song, actually,
well,
to be fair.
We're doing requests tonight, aren't we? Paul Young, lovely man.
We're in danger of becoming a music station.
Did I ever tell you? There was nothing wrong with that, Hayley. did I ever tell you about the day that I met Paul Young? What a nice man. He came in on his Harley Davidson. And we sang together.
I don't know why I just pressed that button. It was number 9 in the UK and number 1 in America. That's from Sam, by the way. Sam, you can talk. I don't know if he's got his fader up. He hasn't got his own fader up. He's pressing buttons manically.
I got it now.
Are you listening, Sam?
intently.
Hello.
No, he's not got his headphones.
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
It's going well.
I knew this was good.
It's my first night back.
He's forgotten how the buttons work.
Mm-hmm.
2 days off. And where, what do these buttons do?
And where exactly have you been?
No, it's just because where I switch with Amy. So this is my first shift back on nights for 3 weeks. So. Yeah.
That's all right, Sam. You've just got to get yourself, you know. Yeah, I know we're a bit of a test for, you know, your average technical producer, but it'll be worth it.
Right,
just think of the benefits for your career that there will be when you can say, I worked with Howard Hughes and Hayley Hayes, and look where I got.
I know, I'm really going
absolutely
places now.
Nowhere. Now, the other night, well, you will be, straight out the door. Our friend Hedy, who's a regular listener and also a scientist. Hedy, if you are there and you would like to speak with us tonight, then the platform is yours, 0344-499-1000. But we were talking about somebody who used to broadcast on our sister station, Talk Sport, when it did a mix of sports and talk like what we do. The great Mike Dickin. And I think, Hayley, you'll have to help me with this, but Hedy has sent us some sound.
Sam, do you have Mike it, or Dickin? Should I play it from my phone? Is it easier? Because I think I can do it from my phone. It's quite clear normally. Sam's...
You can get it if you give me a minute.
Come
okay,
on,
cool. He just needs a minute.
All right, well, we need to set this up. Mike Dickin was the king. I mean, you know, the greats in my book are people like James, of course, who we've got at Talk Radio, and Mike Dickin were of a generation of absolutely fabulous broadcasters, and the late Mike Allen, you know, who's just, hello, it's Mike Allen here. He used to do music shows and talk shows as well. But Mike Dickin was incredible. Mike Dickin used to do the late show at the weekend on Talk Sport. And I used to do the unexplained on Saturday nights and hand over to him. And he had this big gruff voice like this, but he was an absolute pussycat. But he had a turn of phrase that most of us who speak into a microphone can only dream about. And if we can hear a little bit of him that Hedy kindly sent us, we can remember the great Mike Dickin. We got that?
We're still working.
Nearly.
Oh, hang on.
Oh, anyway, what are you doing? Recording it yourself?
Yeah, I'm just... we're almost there. I've sent it, Sam, so...
Okay.
By the power of email, it should be coming through any time now.
Okay. I'm just going to put my socks falling off. I've just got to pull it
up. How can a sock fall off?
I don't know.
The laws of gravity mean that normally your foot's going downward, so how does a sock fall off?
You cannot change the laws of physics. No, look, I think one of the things that happens to you, and my listener may well back me up on this, is that when you are isolated in four walls for weeks and weeks and weeks on end on your own, things begin to drift, okay? Mm. And you find yourself washing and wearing the same four T-shirts. And at the moment, you know, I never really wear jog pants. I've got like 3 or 4 pairs of jog pants, and they go in the washer on alternate days. And I'm just sort of wearing T-shirts and jog pants and a pair of socks. So when I have to go back to work, like proper work in a proper office, it's going to be a shock to the system because I'm just not going to be used to it. And then there's the hair. What am I going to do about the hair? And if you, my listener, and Hayley, maybe you can help me with this too.
Buy
have you got any tips? How do I deal with the fact that my hair is normally a little scraggly anyway? And it is deeply, it's probably 4 weeks beyond when I would normally have run to the barbers and had it done. It's going to be anything up to 2 months before I can have it cut again. What am I going to do?
Wear a hat.
How do you tame your hair?
I can't
wear a hat.
Why not?
I'll look like a dog in a hat. I can't wear a hat.
What sort of hats are you wearing?
Well, you wouldn't want to know. Wherever I lay my hat, that's my home. No, I did nearly buy a summer hat, just the once. In Marxies last year,
a straw
and I didn't
hat.
Buy it. Yeah, and it sort of worked with my straw hair.
Why didn't you
on
buy
top
it?
Of my straw head? I don't know. I think it was. Well, I think I looked at it and saw £25, and I thought to myself, "No, can't pay spend £25 on a hat. Oh, come on now." That's probably the reason.
Yeah.
Now you see, Thomas has just messaged. Thomas, please give us a call. We want to speak with you. You see, this is the thing. Thomas has just messaged from Sheffield, and he says, "Enjoying the show." So Thomas is enjoying the show.
Everyone's saying, please don't play Rufus Wainwright. So I don't know what... Did we play Rufus before, or was it a different Wainwright?
We played Rufus Wainwright, and right. I thought it was a bit...
I'm
not going to sit on the fence about that one. It was a bit of a dirge, wasn't
it? Yeah, I think everyone else agrees.
And poor Sharon in the Northeast, that wasn't the song that she meant. She meant...
Oh.
Apparently George Michael had done what I hope is a better version. And not Rufus Wainwright. Are you losing me here? Am I losing you? Rufus Wainwright wrote the song, And George Michael apparently did a version of it that was probably better than Rufus Wainwright. And yeah. frankly, having heard that, I hope I don't upset Rufus Wainwright fans here. I think I could probably have done a better version than that. It was a bit down, wasn't it, really? You know, we don't want to be sending people to sleep. We want to be keeping them awake. Don't you think so, Hayley?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's nearly bedtime, isn't it? So.
No, when I heard it, I thought, what on earth is that? And I had one message today from somebody who said, and I can't find the message now, on my I'm trying to do all this on my phone. I'm trying to do a complete radio show on my phone, who said, Howard, like the show, but 10 o'clock at night is my bedtime. Please, can they put you on earlier? Well, I'll try and make that happen. I have a feeling the boss is probably not going to be able to facilitate that one. Can I find that tune, that George Michael tune?
We can play
how
that.
Do you know about? You're an IT person, right? You know all about this stuff.
How do
Google? Can I search? No, can I search? I'm searching my Facebook page.
Right.
This is where people communicate with me.
Yeah, I know.
They send me messages through my Facebook page.
Well,
the unexplained with
Howard. Well, they reply to. Yeah, it's a comment, isn't it? Really.
Yeah. Oh, people like Glenn and Val and Mangie and
Bob,
Paul
and Lucy and Sharon,
Mark and Lara
Sharon
and Alan
and
John and Chris and Michael and yeah. Paul and Colin and Gidget. All of them do that. So somebody
Martha.
Sent me, and I can't find it now. I don't know where it's from. Sent me the
we'll
link
find it later.
To the George.
Okay,
I've got it. Mrs. Mark Johnson. Mark sent me the tune. Okay.
Right.
Do you want to hear it?
Try.
You better damn well add after this now. I'm going to play it off my phone.
Okay? Right. Good luck with that.
Here it is.
I'm going to a town that has already been burnt down.
That's more like it.
I'm going to a place that has already been disgraced.
That's not George Michael, is it?
That's George Michael.
I'm going to see some folks.
That's off my phone, Hayley.
That's why. It's your phone. Yeah. That's not doing
anybody
George
on
Michael
my phone would sound like Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good. It's in a kind of, it's done with an orchestra, and I think he's in a church. He's in a church, and he's standing there with his, you know, with his beard and stuff.
Mm.
That's in his beard and cropped head face. If you see what I'm saying. So Sharon in the Northeast, will you ever forgive me for playing the dirge and not playing that version? I am so sorry, but. Basically, it's all Hayley and Sam's fault.
Yep.
This is Howard Hughes with Hayley Hayes and Sam on Talk Radio. Our number here is 0344 499 1000. As they say, be part of it.
Late Night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
This is more like it. Yeah! I'm finishing Hayley's education off for her here. Hales, you know this one,
don't you? I know this one. Even Sam does. He's nodding his head.
It's great. I can hear it in stereo here. It's going all over the place. I love this noise. That's the one. Whatever happened to them? T-Light.
There's a bit of rapping and gobbing there.
Oh, it's a bit of gobbing. No, I think it's more rapping. I don't know. No, maybe it's in equal measure. It's gobbing and rapping.
Gobbing and rapping. In which order? I don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. We now introduce you to an evening of gobbing and rapping. Here from the Royal Festival Hall, your conductor is Hayley Hayes.
Can you imagine?
It was a whirlpool of fascination. Any night of the week. We're going to play that little bit of Mike Dickin very soon. Just have you been looking at the newspapers, or have you been avoiding the newspapers?
Try not to, no.
There was a great thing, and I wonder if you're involved in making something like this, because a lot of people are finding new business opportunities, like making masks at home and stuff like that, and, you know, flogging them on auction sites of approved material, of course. All sorts of people have found all sorts of opportunities, and the Sun today had the Quarantini Bikini.
Oh.
I'm surprised you didn't see this. The Quarantini Bikini is all made from the Sun. I'm thinking of getting one myself.
And was probably, that on page 3? What page are you on? I've been eating. I've got the Sun here. What page are you on?
And not to draw too fine a point over it, I've been eating so much cake and cheese over these last 6 weeks, I'll probably need a bikini before very long.
What page are you on?
But it's a bottom... no, it's on the website, so I don't know whether it's going to be in the paper tomorrow or whether it's been in the paper. It's on the front page of the website, current by the Sun.
It's not on page 3. Bikini. I mean, there is a lady looking very lovely on page 3, but she's not
going to be on page 3.
Well, you said wearing a bikini. That's what they do. They get their bits out, don't they?
Oh, do they? Not that I've seen.
Not anymore.
No, it was on the website. I was checking out the... You shut up, Sam. See, you excited, Sam, now. You talked about bits. You know what he's like, and he's only just back from a couple of days off. That's going to get him going.
More people would buy the paper if they made that, you know, a thing again.
You think? No, I don't know. The Quarantini Bikini is all made of the same material. It comes with a mask at the top, a bit for your boobs, and a bit for the bottom.
Mm.
So it's a three... It's not a two-part bikini. It's a three-part bikini. Mm. And it's called the Quarantini Bikini. And that is the kind of, in my view, the kind of, you know, ingenuity that we Brits are famous for. Don't you think so?
Oh, yeah, Quarantini definitely. Bikini. No, we're very creative souls.
Or am I just waffling like that man who sent me an email today said? Am I just going on? Let's hear a bit of Mike Dickin. Now, Mike Dickin was one of the great speech broadcasters of all time, as far as I'm concerned. Great voice, always funny. Hated people who had caravans, couldn't bear caravanners. You know, just had a blind spot about caravanners. So if you had a caravan, he was going to lay into you. And Hedy, our loyal listener, has sent us just this little quick clip of Mike Dickin in his prime.
Diana has been seriously hurt and is in intensive care at the Petit Saint Pierre Hospital in southeast Paris. And a newsflash, and I'm sorry to have to be the one to tell you this, but Diana, the Princess of Wales, has died. According to British sources, the Press Association has just announced that Diana, the Princess of Wales, has died of injuries, according to British sources. There's very little I can say at that moment.
Boy. And there's the proof, then. He's a man who could handle it all. I didn't know it was that clip that was coming on. And as he was saying that, Hayley, I was in a car on the way into London and about to do the same on the rival music station on Capital. And, you know, that was a heck of a day.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever handled anything like that, any of us. I mean, you're far too young to know that, but there are two or three days in your working life, probably, before you turn up your toes and hang up your microphone, where you've got to do something big. And you've got to decide how you do it. I used to do all those things. When the Queen Mother died, they gave me, and they had a huge, obviously, huge state funeral with, you know, all the great and the good there. I had to go on like network on all the stations, and I had to do this wrap up of what was said in the funeral ceremony. A very moving thing. And I had exactly, I think it was exactly 3 minutes to do it. And I couldn't be a second either way. I couldn't be a second too short or a second too long. I was terrified. And it worked perfectly. And every so often, something grabs hold of you. And, you know, hell, it wasn't me who did that. It was like something grabbed hold of me and made me do it right.
They do say it's good to be scared every now and again. Do something that scares you.
I live my life in fear, excuse me. It's good to be scared.
Face the fear and do it anyway.
You must never take anything for granted. You must never take anything for granted. And what else was in the same paper? Somebody else, my friend Sandra, pointed this out to me. Scarlett Moffat. Do you know who Scarlett Moffat
is? Yes, I do. Hey? She was on Gogglebox.
Okay.
You didn't watch Gogglebox?
Yeah, well, I did, but I always turned it off.
And then she got quite famous. She's done loads of reality TV since then and a bit of presenting.
Well, according to various newspapers, including The Sun today, we need to be getting her on The Unexplained, I think. She insisted she'd been, this was on Loose Women, she insisted that she'd been abducted by aliens. And it says here, the 30-year-old, former Gogglebox star, left veteran presenter Gloria Hunniford. Why do they have to put everybody's age in there? Gloria Hunniford, comma, 80, comma, inquiring, had you been drinking? That sounds far-fetched. Among her wacko ideas were that America faked the moon landings. I have people who say that on The Unexplained. And I got another battering by an emailer because we had a guy on the Apollo 11 anniversary last year talking about how it was all nonsense. It was all staged in a studio in Pasadena. And I was getting emails and texts from people saying, this man is mad. Are you going to keep talking to him in a civil manner? So I asked him some hard questions. And then I got this email from a man saying, you are very rude to that man who said we never landed on the moon. You know, why can't you accept we never went there, said this man. Anyway, that's what she said. And she also said, and have you heard this theory? The Paul McCartney, the one that we know now, is not the real Paul McCartney.
Oh.
Have you heard of that one?
No, I haven't heard that one. I mean,
no, but they say that there is a whole, and I've been trying to get somebody on the Unexplained about this. If you know somebody who does this, there's a whole theory that Paul McCartney, the real one, died, I think it was in a car accident in 1966, and was replaced by a man they call Fall, fake Paul, who looks a bit like him. And for the last 50 years or so, whatever, 44, you know, 50, it is 50 years, isn't it? 50 years or more. An imposter has been Paul McCartney.
I would think if you're going to replace yourself, you'd replace yourself with somebody younger looking, wouldn't you?
I would.
That's why I don't think that's true.
I'd like to have the implants and the transplant to be somebody younger, but it's not going to happen. No, because there are people, if you go on the net, there are various websites where they will have photographs of Paul, age 23, or whatever it is, and next to it, Paul, age 24, after the swap. And they'll say, look at the shape of his ears. Mm-hmm. Look at his nose, it's not quite the same. His eyes and his eyebrows are completely different. And there are people who believe this stuff. But who am I to say that it's not so, Hales?
Well, exactly. That's why we need to hear it. We need to hear somebody who actually believes it.
All right, if you... But you could be helping me for my Unexplained show on Sunday. If you've seen the theory that Paul McCartney, the one that we have now, is not the real Paul McCartney and was replaced in 1966, if you believe that, I'd love to discuss that with you here. 0344 499 1000. And, you know, we might get somewhere. Let's get to Dave in Sunderland. Hello, Dave. How are you?
Yeah. Not bad.
What's going on?
I'd just like to mention a couple of points. When you played that, Mike Dickin, that brought back some memories.
He was the best, and that was such a big thing to have to do, and he did it so well, didn't he?
I was listening on the night.
Were you?
Yeah.
What did that do? Hey, Dave, listen, because I was involved in the thing, I had no time when I was doing it. I had no time to think about it. I just had to think, how am I going to do this on the radio without, you know, looking bad? I had to do it the right way. There was no other way to do it. How did you feel when you heard that news?
I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. I thought I was dreaming.
I had no idea about it because I was just thinking, I've got to do the news. And I had to do news every 15 minutes. And, you know, when it's somebody royal and important like that, you have to do it in a particular way. They have a procedure. So, you just have to say, it is with regret that we announced the death of Diana, Princess of Wales.
Yeah.
And then you explain how that happened. And then you say, we'll bring you more information in 15 minutes. And then you go to classical music and then you talk again. That's how it works.
It was the 90s, wasn't it? I remember.
Yeah, she'd been in all the papers. Sorry, you're saying you used to.
Sony Walkmans. You know the Sony Walkmans?
Yeah.
And I used to lie in my bed, listen to them all night with the headphones on.
And that story, that I remember that story broke by, first of all, they said there'd been an accident and they'd been hurt. And then within about an hour or so, the story had changed and it looked like it was much, much more serious than that. But, you know, Mike Dickin, you get no disagreement from me. Absolute star, that man. They just don't make them like that anymore, as you can hear. You said you had a couple of things you wanted to say. What else?
Yeah, I phoned Mike Dickin once myself. I phoned him about something. I think he was on about the minimum wage going up. And, I said I couldn't manage on it. It was £2 on an hour at the time when I was doing security work.
God.
It was only £2 on an hour.
Wow. Gosh.
And I said, I can't manage on it. And he should have heard Mike Dick, and he said, I suggest it's going to the other side of the bar.
Oh. What did you say?
I was just shocked. It was great.
I mean, look, I'm sure he didn't mean it, Dave.
No, he didn't. He was great.
Yeah, you see, I couldn't do that. I really couldn't keep a straight face and do that. But
I used to be lying in my bed, like, with my headphones on, my Walkman headphones, so my dad couldn't hear. He was listening to the radio all night.
Well, I don't think there are many people, you know, I've said this before on this show and I've been filling in here, but I used to do The Unexplained on Talk Sport in 2004 to 2006. And after me at 11, I'd be on at 8 p.m. on Saturday, which is like, that is the time when everybody's watching the telly. So if you're going to try out a new show, you're going to put it on Saturday evening. That's when they do it. That's one of the secrets of the trade. So I got Saturday evening, 8 to 11 p.m. And then the audience comes back because they've been out and they start listening at 11 p.m. So Mike Dickin was on after me. So I would have to hand over to Mike Dickin. And it was always, it was an experience. It was like you were handing over to a legend. And you think, what do I say to a legend that isn't going to make me sound stupid? That's how it works, I think.
It is.
So how are you, Edison, how are you managing in Sunderland? Are you locked down or are you key worker? What are you doing?
I'm not working at the moment. I'm unemployed, but I was struggling about my hair, like, because I couldn't wait for the barbers to open.
What are you going to do?
I've got my mum to give us a lockdown haircut with the scissors.
Okay. And how
did she got
that
proper barber. You didn't do it with the kitchen scissors. Please tell me you didn't do it with the kitchen scissors.
I did, yeah.
Well, I suppose she could have cut. I mean, listen, please, we're just not recommending you do this to our listener. We have to put that in there. But she should, did she just take the ends off it?
She took the ends off, yeah, but the top, it's thick in parts and thin in the middle.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like mine. Would she do mine?
Yeah, she would.
If I came to, because, you know, Boris says we can drive now for specific, for our exercise. Yeah. Well, I could go to Sunderland for my exercise, couldn't I? I'm sure that would be fine, wouldn't it, Hayley?
Oh, absolutely. You can go anywhere you like to.
Hey, Dave, I'm glad you've had
England.
Your hair done.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes, it can't be in Wales or Scotland. I'm glad you've had your hair done, though, Dave.
So am I. I was getting on my nerves.
Well, I'm getting really worried about mine, because I think I'm going to look even more silly than usual. What am I going to do, Dave? I'm going to have to get... What I'm going to have to do, probably... My answer to most things is eBay, so I'm probably going to have to try and find some barber's clippers, some proper ones, and bite the bullet and do it.
I mean, if you've got
what was that? Yeah, I'm just going to have to. My grandmother used to have. She used to. My grandmother was unique in Liverpool. She had this thing called the all-in-one safety hair cutter. Right, and it was a lethal thing. And they used to sell stuff like this in the shops in the early 70s. And I would go round to my nan, and she had this thing. It looked like a little plastic disc, and inside was a lethal razor blade. I'm sure they don't make these things anymore. But anyway, she'd say, I'll just chigger a bit off there. And my grandmother did me a little haircut. And when I went to school, they used to call me Cave Ed because I had great big indentations in my head where my grandmother had used the 4-in-1 safety hair cutter. And for months, they were saying, here comes Cave Ed. And then when it grew back, Dave... It grew up, it stuck up like a cactus, you know, it stuck up right in the air, so they called me Cactus. So I went from being Cave Ed to Cactus. It's true.
My dad had something like that, it was there. It looked like a comb with teeth, and it could put...
That's
like
the one.
Blade on it.
The 4-in-1 safety hair cutter, absolutely lethal. God knows where my grandmother got it from. But she thought it was the greatest idea because you could save money on haircuts. Because we could either go to Morris, who did all the haircutting in Waterloo, Liverpool. And Morris was there for like 30 years. And he used to do like the school kids' haircut, which was like 50 pence. And his little hairdressing salon, I think somebody else has taken it over now in Waterloo. Half of it was blue and had blue seats and a blue lights for Everton. And on the right-hand side, you had red seats and red lights for Liverpool. That's my childhood, Dave. Anything else you'd like to say before we have to say goodbye?
I'd just like to say I'm enjoying the show. It's great.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Dave. Well, you take care and look after yourself. Jeez. And I'm glad your hair's all right. And I might take your example and have a go at mine. Take care.
Thanks.
Dave in Sunderland. If you want to be part of this, if you want to give me some hairdressing tips, and my God, I need them, 0344 499 1000. Do you recommend that I get myself a pair of clippers? Should I just borrow somebody's garden shears, if I'm allowed to do that, without breaching the rules? How should I deal with the hair that is now rapidly advancing in a very... I mean, it looks... How can I describe it? If you can imagine a rusty barbed wire fence that's gone a bit wrong. That's how my hair's looking at the moment. So if you've got any hairdressing tonsorial tips, I'd be very pleased. Tonsorial tip. If you've got any tonsorial tips, I'd be grateful to hear from you. 0344. 6 weeks into lockdown. I think it's beginning to happen. Beware. 0344 499 1000. We are Talk Radio.
Late Night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
Hit me. I'm always ready. Talk Radio 0344 499 1000 in the nighttime. Howard Hughes and the great Hayley Hayes. See, I've got to keep my voice down. I keep forgetting that I'm not in a radio studio. That the other side of the wall that I'm looking at now is my next door neighbour.
Oh, I think it's a bit too late now. It's been 7 weeks of you doing this at home.
And they're terribly nice people, though. Patrick and Tebby, they are the nicest people. And, you know, I've got to keep it down a bit.
And patience,
for their sake.
Obviously.
Exactly. And, you know, I've got to give people a break as well. Because I think you think I'm a bit hyper tonight.
No, always, but no.
You know, it's just my way. I've always been a bit like that. You never do anything by halves, Hayley. That's the thing. 0344 499 1000. That's our telephone number. That's our number here on Talk Radio across the United Kingdom and around the world. Talkradio.co.uk is the way to listen. Some of our international listeners often get in touch and say, how can I hear this radio show that you keep talking about? And I say, well, if you're in Toronto, or if you're in Perth, Western Australia, then you have to listen on talkradio.co.uk.
Right.
That's our website, by the way. I mean, you know that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, Hayley. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm very worried. I mean, you don't seem to think that the hair is a serious situation. No,
well,
I'm very concerned
about
that.
Sam's just put a hat on, so you could just do what Sam does and just put a hat on.
Okay. Hang on. Thomas has been in touch. He says, can you do it? See, I'm beating you here. I've got my own messaging system. I don't need...
What are you looking at? Twitter?
No, I'm looking at my Facebook page.
Oh,
people are messaging me through my Facebook page.
Okay.
The Unexplained... Have I not mentioned my Facebook page? The Unexplained with Howard Hughes before?
You've done a few times, you never know.
I don't know whether that's even allowed, but who cares? Thomas says, can you do a shout-out to my biggest fan, Alice Riding, who is listening with me tonight? Mm. Thomas and Alice, it's nice to know you're there. The only thing you don't tell me is where you are. I suppose I can... Oh, no, you're in Sheffield, aren't you? And you're originally from Manchester. I don't know whether I'm allowed to say that's on your Facebook profile. Forget I said that, but I have a feeling that you may be in Sheffield, and you may possibly have been from Manchester.
And there's only one Tom in Sheffield.
Is there?
Oh, the way you said it, it was like you were worried that you said Tom in Sheffield, because you might, you know, break his anonymity.
Now you're losing me. Anonymity.
Yeah,
anonymity. So the government has got... You can explain this to me, because I've lost the plot. The government has got a rule now that we can take our exercise and we can drive to it if we want to. Is that right?
Yeah, you can drive anywhere you want to within England. But when you get there, you can't go out and meet anyone. So I do question whether it's worthwhile driving anywhere.
No, but that's the way my life works anywhere. I never meet anybody anyway.
That's true. But, I mean, if you're in the safety of your own car, then, you know, you're not getting close enough to people, are you? So, I mean, it's all good social distancing-wise.
So does this mean, at the very point 6 weeks into this, in this little flat, and at the very point where, you know, you're at that tipping point where the what do they call it, the scales, the gimbal of your sanity begins
you're
to tip in
about
one direction?
Staying sane, just about.
I don't know, really. I'm sure there are going to be people listening to this who can relate to this. But if you're, it's almost like solitary confinement. You know, if you're on your own in a space that is familiar to you, well, that's comforting in one respect, and I can get on with my work. But it's weird, because if I speak, nobody's going to answer. It's strange. It's like these radio shows are sort of therapy for me on the air. True. But anyway, no, what I was thinking, if we really are allowed to go and exercise anywhere, then I've done a calculation today that Brighton, or I used to live in Hove years ago. Hove is about 60 miles away from where I live. So theoretically, but I have to check the rules to make sure I'm right. As long as I don't see a soul and I don't come into communication with anybody, I can drive to Brighton or Hove, get out of the car, sniff the sea. I will, of course, take a packed lunch of sandwiches that I've made at home. I will not communicate with anybody. And I can do that. Look at the sea. Restore my sanity and drive home, and I will be within the rules, apparently.
Yeah, I thought of doing something like that, but can I ask a very practical question?
Yes.
Because nowhere's open. Where do you go if you need the loo? After a long drive. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because normally you'd pop in a pub or, you know, anywhere, just, you know, Starbucks or something to go for a wee, right?
I mean, I'm not really, I mean, this is a thing for the boys used to do. Of course, boys don't do this now. But I can remember, I lived in Liverpool, and we had a beach at the bottom of the road, and sometimes the wind would blow hard, and you'd be down on the beach, and there were no cafes. There were no cafes. God, I'm going so Liverpool now. There were no cafes down there. And you'd go down there, and the wind would be blowing in your face. There wouldn't be another soul around, and you'd be dying for a wee. And I remember once making the grave mistake of weeing into the wind.
Oh.
And you know what happened?
Oh, no.
It came back all over my...
Oh, that's disgusting.
I don't know why I'm telling that story. I was about 10, okay? I was about 10.
How do you
remember
please don't do this. From being 10?
Well, I can remember because it was embarrassing and I had to explain to my parents why I came home...
Smelling.
...covered in... Yeah. Oh, and my father... You see, my father was a very practical man. You know, he was in the comps and he had a phrase... Most of the phrases he used I couldn't repeat. But he just said, don't worry about it, son. That's called getting your own back...
Literally. So, that's awful.
See, you wouldn't... All those people who heard me reading the news in a posh voice for all of those years, they would never assume anything like that.
I know. See, you've let down your guard a little bit. That's good. I like it.
Well, no, I think it's just getting to the stage where you just don't care.
As you get older, you don't care, do you? You care less.
It's a beautiful place. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that I'm as old as Methuselah, but you get to the stage where... we're all going to die anyway, one way or another. Hopefully, in my case, you know, when I'm about 95.
Right, yes.
So it's a good, you know, it's at least 5 years away. So, you know, you might as well live. Oh. I think that's the penny that dropped. I mean, if you want my philosophy for life, I used to worry about everything and everybody. And I still, you know,
I still
worry too much.
Oh, come on. No, I don't agree with you on that. Because you're going to say, oh, I don't worry about anything anymore. You do.
I don't really care.
You do. I only care about the smallest things.
No, I care about trying to do a good job. I care about that.
Yeah, but you care about everything.
No, I don't. I really don't.
It's like
look at where I live.
A therapy session now.
So, Hayley.
Yes. I don't care.
So
about
no, everything. I interviewed. Well, I interviewed a hypnotherapist, didn't I, today?
Yes.
About hypnotic regression and taking people back to previous lives, allegedly.
Allegedly, why do you say somebody, allegedly? If he believes it, it's true in his head.
Well, no, he believes he had a client. He was telling. I mean, you'll hear all of this on my next podcast. But he had a client who said that she used to be Elizabeth I.
All right. Okay. Of course. Sure, yeah. Well, if you were going to have a past life, you'd want to be a royal. I think I'd want to be a princess. If I was going to have a past life, then that's what I'd be.
Well, you know, you're in your own little way, in your own pinkness. You are a princess to me.
I'd like to think so.
You always will be, Hayley. Should we shove on some more calls then,
hey?
It's like shoving coals on the fire. Let's get it moving. Let's get to Danny in Kilburn in West London. Or North West London, actually, to be exact. How are you, Danny? Long time no talk.
Yeah, so. No, I have been listening to, and I've been listening to some your Sunday programmes. And I could have chipped in a few times about some of the subjects there. No, I was going to say just about, I mean, I can talk about those things if you want. But in the meantime, you know, I remember Churchill's funeral in 65. That was probably the first state occasion that I remember quite well. I went to I saw the cortege of the Queen Mum's funeral in Whitehall. Though, if you could see above all the heads there, and they had all of it, it was there was I'd never seen so many ancient, well, I say ancient royal vehicles, royal cars, official royal cars, right back to the 30s that they used on that. It wasn't just hearses, it was Rolls's and Daimlers and God knows what. That afternoon I saw that. Now, what I was going to say about Diana in 97, I think it was a weekday afternoon. I was over my father's place in Notting Hill. So are you still there?
I am. I'm listening. I'm trying not to interrupt.
I was over my father's place in Notting Hill, and I left there quite late. It was about 12, and I thought, well, I heard on the wireless, they said they were going to put them, it was like people turning up at Kensington Palace, which is odd, because I thought, how the hell are they going to get into the grounds of the park there? And that park and St. James's Palace, everyone laying wreaths and things. And I thought, well, I might as well go down there as soon as I'm at, I'm near enough Notting Hill Gate. I got a bus from Notting Hill Gate, supposedly towards Piccadilly and St. James's, because that was the first stop. I was going to go to St. James's Park, Buckingham Palace, and then Kensington Palace, which is what I did do. But the thing is, the old thing about this is, and I've seen this a couple of times, this has happened to me, the bus I was on, it got down from Notting Hill Gate, it went down Church Street, in the usual, you know, it's just quite a long way to opposite Barker's there, now the Evening Standard, to turn left into Kensington Road, towards South Kensington. From that point on, right the way up to Hyde Park Corner, I kid you not, the traffic was literally buses, cars, a lot, bumper to bumper to bumper on both sides. Each and every vehicle and every bus was absolutely packed. The pavements were packed with people. It was like being out in the rush hour. And this was about 1 o'clock in the morning. It was like the rush hour. It was bumper to bumper all the way through central London. So In the end, I got off. I wanted to go to St. James's Park, and I had to get off at Hyde Park Corner. I thought, well, I'm not sitting on this thing any longer. I might as well walk it. I could walk it faster than this bus is going. But then all the traffic was literally bumper to bumper for miles.
Anyway, I think, you know, people, because it was 20-odd years ago, people forget that that was the biggest outpouring, and it was literally a 24/7 thing. People were going to lay flowers and be part of it. And, you know, you ask them, being on the radio, I would ask people, why have you come here? And they just say, "We, like you did, we felt we had to do this. You know, we didn't want to just watch it on the TV.
Yes. What I was going to say, Howard, I beg your pardon, was, now, I went to St. James's Palace. There was a part of the, it was like a part, just off the mall there, was like a little road. They were laying wreaths and things. I went there. I went to Kensington. I went to Buckingham Palace. Buckingham Palace was like VE Day. So many crowds out there. You wouldn't have thought this was the middle of the night. And it was like rush hour. So I went there. Now, and I went to Kensington. Each one of those, and I looked at all the wreaths in each case, about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. And in each case, do you know what? It was odd. Once you got inside those parks, although it was away from the traffic, you could hear a pin drop. And all you heard, the only thing you heard, nobody spoke to anyone. Everyone was walking around in silence. Some people had candles, and they were lighting candles. And all you heard was sobbing, sobbing, sobbing. Everyone crying.
I know. I remember. Listen, there were people that I worked with at Capital Radio back then who went down there, and that's what they said. They cried themselves. Because I was working, I didn't get the chance to go. But you know what, Danny? I mean, we're going to have to go now because we've got to do news. But you were part of history. I mean, you were part of London's living history. And look at the times that we've lived in. We've seen all of that stuff from the death of Diana and, like you said, the Queen Mother. And now this amazing period where London is, in the most part, silent and quiet because of coronavirus. Danny and Kilburn, I've got to go, but thank you very much for calling. It was nice to hear from you tonight. I mean, that is a little bit of living history, Hayley Hayes, and I'm sure you were part of it too, but, you know, I was part of it because I was working through it. Amazing stuff, which all goes to prove that you can come on here and say anything you want for the next hour here on Talk Radio with Howard Hughes and Hayley Hayes on the exclusive, the dynamic, the unique Talk Radio.
Late Night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
Going on your way.
beat a bit of Motown, Hales. It may be old, but it's good. He's the man. See, I want to get a version of that done for me, Hales. Howard you? He's the man. Who am I kidding? Now, Hales, I think we've set something of a trend here. I've just been into my Facebook page, and people are messaging me. I think they think it's easier than messaging the station, which you can do in various ways. But they're messaging me, and I've missed some of them, so I'm sorry for that. I've just been through some of them during the news.
Well, I think you should deeply apologise. You should say hello.
I'm really, really sorry. Yeah, absolutely.
Go from A to Z. That's what you should do. Well, just say every name in the alphabet, A to Z, and you'll cover it.
What do you think I've got for a brain, a computer? I haven't done them alphabetically. But I can say Melinda in Australia. Nice to hear from you. Melinda saying we'll soon be here in the UK. We'll soon be out of lockdown, like they're getting out of lockdown in Australia. Thank you, Melinda, for that. Before I go nuts. Hannah wanted a name check. Nice to know that you're there, Hannah. Lee, nice to hear from you. Carolyn, you know, we talked about doing T-shirts for The Unexplained.
Yes.
Carolyn says that she would happily wear a T-shirt. Carolyn, I think we're going to have to look into this.
Can I get a pink one, a special edition?
Well, usually, the ones that I've been offered are black, but we can probably have a pink one and have the logo. Would you still wear the logo, though? Would you proudly wear the logo?
Yes, of course
I would. Unexplained.
If you paid
with
me.
Howard Hughes. Excuse me?
Well, you know, it's like people have adverts on the side of their car and they get paid. If I'm going to wear a T-shirt, I want to get paid.
We're not doing those sort of deals, I'm afraid.
I could be an influencer.
Excuse me? Lara? Loving the show, says Lara. Thank you. Right. Loving the show. Thank you, Lara. Joanne says... Joanne says that she's got a tip for my hair. Rather than trying to cut it, Joanne says that I can wear a ponytail. Joanne, you would not want to see that. I would look like a dog that had had its tail cropped. You know when people used to do they still do that sort of, I don't know. But anyway, people did, with dogs' tails, didn't they do that? It wouldn't look good. Mark Curry, nice to hear from you. Mark, not the Mark Curry. Gary and Steve-O, thank you for your messages in the last half hour. Ben says, Haley, the show just before you lay into me, when we do the debrief at the end of the show. Ben says, I've got it here, the show's a brill. And Robin Zhang, nice to hear from you. And Robin in America, the other Robin, has actually sent me a link to a handy-dandy haircutter that I'll tell you all about a little later. But we must get more calls on the air, otherwise I'm going to be in more trouble with Haley than I already am. So let's get to Mark in Thames Ditton, not very far from where I am domiciled, Mark. Nice to hear from you. How are you?
Not bad, and I thought it was about time we got round to speaking directly rather than just tweeting you and making you nervous.
Mark are you on Twitter, Mark? What's your username?
Well, I'm Mark V.
You're Mark V.
But I haven't worked out which window to wave at yet. Because I'm
okay.
Courier.
All right, you are Mark the Courier. Yeah, this is a guy who emails me called Mark, who's been emailing. You've been emailing me for about 2 years now, Mark, haven't you?
Well, I sort of I didn't catch your show originally, but then I came across the podcast. And I used to listen to Now That's Weird many years ago. And I like what you do.
And well, thank you.
I dabble in things similar to some of the...
Do you? Do you do your own podcast, Mark? You should.
No, I don't. I have been on someone else's podcast.
Hey, what kind of phone... Hey, Mark, before you go on, what kind of phone are you using? Because you sound like you're calling from the dark side of the moon.
Well, it is dark in here. I've got a headset plugged in and I'm talking at the phone. So the microphone is on the phone, but I've got headphones in, so I'm not on loudspeaker.
Okay, all right. So you've been there listening, but have never called in?
Yes. I do that a lot with many things.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
But haven't you got, if you are, as you say, you were in your emails, a courier, don't you have to be up at the crack of dawn to go currying?
My alarm goes off. Yes. But at the moment, I load the coffee on the bike at 8:30 when I hook on. And then I wait until an address appears for where I'm
going. Okay. Mark, you are fading away. If you want, I don't think we're allowed to do this. We can give a shout out to the courier company. What's the courier company? Can you hear me?
I can, yes.
Oh, my gosh. That's now you're like in the room. Wow.
Well, I've got the thing almost on my nose.
Okay.
You're inhaling
now, listen,
your
I
phone.
Said, also, just before we go, we can give a shout-out to the courier company that you're going to be working for tomorrow. What's the company?
It's Green. That's
Green?
The company.
What's called Green?
Green. It's called Green.
Okay.
Right.
And you're a motorbike courier, is that right?
I am, yes. Only did 150 miles today.
Okay. And what was that all kind of local for around your area, or did you go further?
They let me outside the M25 quite a lot these days, because with this lockdown, there's legal bits that need signing and technology bits that need taking to people and all sorts of things that have to go from A to B, plus there's the drugs.
Oh, really?
Some of the things they get us to take.
Well, yeah. Anyway, listen, you take care, Mark, in Thames Ditton, working for whatever company that was. Thank you for that. Hayley Hayes.
Yes. Howard Hughes.
Howard Hughes. Talk Radio. 0344-499-1000. I think that's our number. I don't know. I get emails from Mark, who says that he's domiciled in this area. That's all I know about him. He says he's a courier.
Well, he knows where you are.
What kind of courier? I have no idea. And yes, exactly. So there. Our number, 0344 499-1000. If you want to tweet us, it's at Talk Radio. Shall I go through my list of people?
No, please don't.
No more names.
No All more right. names. I mean, I can just reel off a list of names if you want me to.
No, but these are real names of real people who have been in touch.
They're real people, aren't they? I know. But I think we've covered everyone in the A to Z.
Okay, I'm going to find that device that Robin in America has suggested.
Oh, like clippers or something.
Mm-hmm.
Was it clippers?
Yes.
Oh, go for it.
Okay, I'm going to find it. You just keep talking.
Okay,
I'm going to go
cool,
back
cool.
to my Facebook page here. This is a whole new way of working.
But the only thing you need to then be able to do is go on YouTube, because if you get the tool, you need to have the skills too. So you need to get yourself on YouTube and search for something like how to cut my own hair. Because otherwise you've got the kit,
I'm a great one for,
but nothing else.
You're right about that. I remember once when I mean, money's always a problem, one has to say. But I do remember once when I had a laptop and the screen broke and I couldn't afford to get a new laptop. So I found a video on YouTube about how to replace the screen in your laptop.
Wow.
And it suggested there was a place where you could get a screen it was a Samsung laptop. And there was a place where I could get a screen for £35 by
That's
mail order. And I ordered one of them. And then I followed literally... I had another computer running, and I put the video on, and I took the laptop apart. It's actually quite easy. You might know this because you do IT. The screen is just, you just unclip a few things,
yeah.
And then there are some connectors inside. And as long as you do it gently, and you put it back together and squeeze it all together, and, you know, you've got to use the right sort of, there are little bits of sticky stuff, I think, around the screen on the inside. You can actually do that.
God, I'd be scared, though. Were you holding your breath the whole way through?
Oh, yes, I was convinced that I was going to have wasted £35, and no one was more surprised when it actually worked.
I think I would be too. It's like
I'm
when
still trying to find this,
because I've smashed my phone screen a few times. And
well, that's out of rage, though, isn't it? Come
well,
on,
no. that's quite expensive, and there are videos on YouTube where it says you can. I've done this before. I've bought a very cheap screen on eBay for like a fiver, when they're normally, you know, I don't know, 60 quid or something. And you think, nah, you know, can't be too good to be true, surely. And then you spend like 3 hours trying to put this new screen on, and then you end up, throwing it out the window.
Mm.
Yeah, some things are left to the professionals, and that's why it costs a lot of money, because it's worth every penny.
Well, yeah, and you shouldn't mess with it. I remember once, you know me, I don't buy new computers. I tend to buy the reconditioned business ones. And, you know, quite often you can get good deals. I'm doing this show at the moment on a reconditioned Hewlett-Packard business machine. And it's all, you know, this whole show that I'm doing now with you is going through that. But I remember buying one once. And I accidentally switched a switch on the back of the computer that said 220 volts, 110 volts for America. And I switched the switch the wrong way, plugged it in, never even tried it, hadn't set it up, and it blew up.
Oh, gosh. Well, at least you're still here to tell the tale.
Only just. Let's get to Bruce in Sheffield. Our number, 0344-499-1000. How are you doing, Bruce? What's going on?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm feeling your pain about having a haircut, because I wish Royce would have opened the hairdressers a lot sooner, because my hair is growing that long, and I'm not letting my wife anywhere near my hair.
Well, no, that's very wise. Good. I mean, plan. Those of us who've had our hair cut, two things you should never really do within the family, and this is a big generalisation. Number one, and actually, I am the exception probably because my father did teach me, but don't get a family member to teach you to drive, and don't get a family member to cut your hair. You'll thank me for that information.
Thank you. I will. Thank you. Yeah, I'd rather have people to cut my hair, I think.
Yeah, well, yes, indeed. But, you know, my dad was what they call an advanced driver. So he was actually, I had some formal lessons with a big motoring school, and I didn't learn too much from them. And then my dad gave me some lessons, and then I went back with the motoring school, and the guy from the motoring school said, "Who's been teaching you?" And I said, "My dad." So actually, but I've known tons of other people who've had their family members, like wives and husbands and brothers and sisters, try to teach them to drive, and it's been a complete disaster. You didn't call to talk about that, did you?
No, I just felt your pain on having not having a haircut, and also I'd hope Boris opens the, I'd like him to open the theatres soon, because I miss seeing the celebrities I go out and see, because I do a feature on Union Jack Radio called Bruce on the Loose, where I have to meet celebrities, and I'd like to see the theatres reopen at some point, but I'm missing that as well.
I tune around all kinds of radio stations. I heard you on the air somewhere mentioning Bruce on the Loose and your show, and you were asked a question that I'm going to ask you, because I can't do anything that's original. The person who spoke to you said, who's the most famous person you've spoken with, or the celebrity you've interviewed recently?
Yeah. It was Adam Hills from the Legs, that was in Bakewell. That was just before the lockdown.
Right. Are you a theatre man yourself, then?
No, I just I enjoy going to the theatres and then enjoy trying to meet the celebrities afterwards, if I can. But I bet you most of the celebrities will be social distancing after this.
No, that's true. I mean, it's a real big worry about the theatre, isn't it? For, you know, I didn't go to the theatre often, but when I did, I'd go locally. And, you know, people, it's going to be a long time before we're able to do that again. It's a great big shame for all of those people.
And it makes you wonder if we'll have any pantos going ahead this year, because everyone likes Christmas panto to cheer us up.
Well, you know, we're going to be needing the answer to that question quite soon, because they start planning those things now, don't they? In fact, they start planning panto a year before.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll have a bit of Christmas cheer toward the end of the year.
Yeah, well, I used to have at various radio... I never did it, I'd be too shy, but I had various friends at various radio stations who used to appear in local pantos, and big ones as well. People like my friend Russ Kane in London, he used to appear in panto. Don't know how he did it. You know, it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of money, I think, if you're in a big one.
Yeah, we've seen Sean Williamson from EastEnders. He's supposed to be in panto this year down south, so... And he's always...
Have you met Biggins? You haven't lived until you've met Biggins.
Oh, yes, I've met Biggins as well.
Fantastic. And Matthew Kelly, Matthew, top man, Matthew Kelly. I think he does panto, doesn't he?
I think so. Long may it continue. Would you ever do panto?
Absolutely. Yeah, well, I don't think I could do it. I'd just be too shy. You know, it took me years to learn how to stand on front of a stage. In London, in front of 100,000 people, and introduce somebody. And, you know, you go on, you do your 30 seconds of "Ladies and gentlemen, here's so-and-so," and then you get off. I'm not sure I could... You know what? I would find the biggest thing. I wonder how people learn lines when they're performing on stage. You know, how do they do that?
I know. It's one thing I wouldn't be able to do.
Absolutely. Listen, before we've got to go and get some commercials, but anything else you would like to say before we say goodnight?
Just want to say thank you for all the entertainment you bring us, and thank you for your brilliant show, and stay safe, and we'll all get through this eventually.
We will. I think that's the one thing we've got to cling on. All things, no matter how bad they are, and no matter how long they go on for, they all have an end point, and this will too. So as much as I sit here and I say, I'm going stare crazy looking at the walls, and as much as we say, when's this going to end? Of course it inevitably will, and it's starting to now. Chris, thank you very much indeed for the call. Take care. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio. It's Howard Hughes. in partnership with the other Double H, the more important one, my producer, Hayley Hayes. Stay right there, and please give us a call.
Late Night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
Wanted to hear them sing Albuquerque. You won't even remember that, will you?
No, I know the song.
Albuquerque.
I always thought it said, I love cookie.
Now, there's another thing. Stevie Ricks is a great impressionist, and he does these videos of, like, the Bee Gees and Elvis and David Bowie and Paul McCartney. Like, Paul McCartney makes a cup of tea. Oh, I take the tea bag out of the pot there and I shaken it off. So you have to watch Stevie Ricks, but he does these videos of misheard song lyrics, and they are hysterically funny. Yeah. Some of them, sadly, I cannot repeat, but, you know, pretty good, I would say. Stevie Ricks from Chester, and would love to speak with him one day. I think he's a very talented guy, and he's an internet star. Let's get now in the night time on Talk Radio to Nigel in Maidstone. Nigel, how are things with you tonight?
Oh, good evening, or good morning. Good morning, Howard.
Oh, good morning.
Hi,
it's Tuesday already.
Good morning.
I need you.
Is it breakfast time yet?
Not yet. Well, actually, I'm going to have my breakfast in a minute. I've got some of those pork sausages I've just warmed up, the ones that go in hot dog sausages.
That sounds nice.
Oh, I like those.
So I've just turned it off, so after I've had the phone call, I'm going to have some beans with them.
But Nigel, the important question, red sauce or brown sauce?
Well, no, I'm having beans instead of the sauce.
Oh, okay.
So it's a bit of supper, really. It's summer night.
Oh, that sounds delicious. You've made me really hungry now.
Well, I don't go to sleep till 3 o'clock anyway, so it
doesn't might as well eat.
Gives it time to work off.
Yeah.
Do you know what? You've made me think now, and I can't. I've got a sausage in the fridge right now.
Have
one
you
of
got
those
some
ones
beans
that you put
well
in the microwave. I've actually got some
Howard,
beans.
Sorry to buff in. Howard,
sure.
Can you hear me okay? This line's always very bad in my house.
I can't. Nigel, you're very polite. Most people don't do that. That's very kind of you. But no, carry on, please.
Well, Ian's going to make a record out of my coronavirus song. The DJ that he works with, they're making it into something, I think, for iTunes and SoundCloud. So maybe we make a bit, it might get into the chart.
That's very good.
You know, the last one I did, the Miley doing it stylely, was that got into down to number 24 in the charts, the iTunes charts. Down to number 24, it wasn't too bad, really.
Are we close to needing to ask for your autograph?
I hope so. And do you know we sold nearly 300 in 2 weeks? That was an album we sold. That was quite a lot.
That's
isn't
not bad,
it?
Is it? That's good. No, that's good.
I think it was 270 in the 2 weeks.
That's really good. If you think of how many people are making music, everybody wants to be a music star these days. So to do that is a big achievement.
Good, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, I think it's better than good. That's extremely good. Are you going to sing tonight?
We hope the next one will do even better. Maybe get down to number 4 in the charts. You never know.
Fingers crossed.
That would be good. How many do you have to sell? How many do you have to shift to get to number 4?
Well, no, it just goes low. In the charts, it just goes lower and lower each week, doesn't it? But I suppose it does depend on how many you sell a week, I suppose. But even if people see it or buy it, it's better than nothing, isn't it?
Oh, I mean, definitely, but you could do a lot of good with that. Now, listen, when you come on, usually, if we're very good to you, you sing for us. Are you going to sing for us tonight?
I will do. I just want to mention that I fell asleep on the Saturday. I've been cycling about 25 miles today to Hildenborough. Do you know Hildenborough?
No. Where's
near,
that?
Near Sevenoaks.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh, great. I know Sevenoaks.
Anyway, I overdid it, you see, with the cycling. I fell asleep about, I think it was 8 o'clock in the chair and didn't wake up till 11. Oh. And
I thought you were going to say you fell asleep on the bike.
No, I had a vivid
dream. That would have been a problem.
No, I told you I lost my mum.
Yes, I know.
I was in the bedroom and the electricity kept going out in the bedroom. I thought I was awake because I was dreaming it. But the electricity kept going out. So I went into the front room. And when I looked behind the door, my mum was sitting in the chair behind the door. Of course, she died, didn't she? And it was just like she was really there, the dream. It was so vivid, dream.
Well, you know, sometimes, if you listen to my Unexplained show, they say sometimes that they come back to you in dreams to let you know that they're looking out for you.
I think she's still around me, I'm sorry. It's upsetting me.
No, I'm sorry. Why didn't you sing, though? Why didn't you do as... Because you always you do so well, and, you know, you've got... I said to you last time you were on, I said you got perfect pitch with the singing. Why didn't you sing?
I'll do you Fly Me to the Moon, then. That's
okay.
All right.
No, that's great. Bit of Frank Sinatra, Fly Me to the Moon.
Swingy, isn't it? Quite fast. Okay. But you understand what I mean, that I haven't got over the shock yet.
Listen,
2 years.
I totally understand. I was very close to my mum, and she died in 2006. And you never, you live with it, but you never really entirely get over it. And I think anybody who's been through that will tell you the same.
And
okay, let's hear the song.
It's in your head all the time, isn't it? The memory.
It is, but they would want you to get on with your life, though, as well as... Mm. You never forget them. They're always in your heart. They're part of you. But, you know, you've got to get on with your life. So you're going to sing. You're going to sing as Fly Me to the Moon.
Okay, then. I know you've got other callers to get on. I've been listening to your show on the internet, by the way, because I've got to get that quite cheaply now.
That's good.
Nice to listen to other people bringing in the show as well.
Mm. Of course.
Yeah,
okay, have you got your backing track then?
No, I'm going to sing a cappella because of the signal. Okay. I couldn't manage to get the signal right. If it was
That's all right then.
Okay. Fly me to the moon and let me play amongst the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter or Mars. In other words, hold my hand, in other words. Darling, kiss me, fill my heart with song, and let me sing forevermore, because you are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true, in other words, I love you. Thank you, ladies.
Perfect. Perfect, perfect pitch as well. Nice one, Nigel.
A big band behind me.
Well, no, I think if I had a big band handy, then we'd have you doing that. But like I say, you've got perfect pitch, and you do that beautifully. You do it beautifully.
Thanks so much,
so you please take care, and just know that your mum would have been proud of you. You take care, Nigel.
Yeah. It's just rather a shock when you wake up from the dream and reality sets in, isn't it?
I know, and we all go there, you know, even in these times more than ever, I think. All right, Nigel, you take care. Let's get to Hedy now. Hedy, sorry to keep you waiting. How's life?
The answer, my friend, is peeing in the wind. The answer is peeing in the wind.
I really did ask for that,
didn't
I?
You've been listening, haven't you? You were paying attention.
Sorry, I'm really sorry about sending that clip in because I thought it would take down the chirpiness of the show, but you know, people have got some memories about it, so that's a good thing.
Well, no, they have, and you know, I don't think we should forget our heritage. And Mike was an absolute genius. In my book, he was one of the very best we've ever produced. That's what I think.
Now this haircutter you were talking about, the 4-in-1
thing. I'm trying to find... Oh, yes, the 4-in-1 safety haircutter.
It looked like some sort of ninja weapon when my mum brought it home.
That's the one I'm talking about. It looked like it was kind of roundish.
Yes.
But I'll tell you what it looked like. It looked like one of the spaceships in Star Trek.
It was lethal on my brother's head.
And when I saw what she'd done to him, I just went out of the house and I stayed out till 9 o'clock. That was not going to happen to me.
Well, you know, I have to say that, you know, I'm sure the people who made them, and if they still make them, they would say used properly and in the right hands, they can do an absolute genius job. But I have to say, in the hands of my grandmother, they took great big caves of hair out of my head.
You need a few years of Japanese training.
And when you're 11, when you're 11 and somebody's using the Death Star on your head, it's not an experience you forget.
Well, that's my brother never let my mum touch his head again after that.
I'm not surprised.
Hayley was talking about being scared. I mean, I was scared and ran off. And the biggest thing that Hayley, you said that being scared was a good thing to happen to you.
Takes you out of your comfort zone, doesn't it?
Have you ever heard of Go Ape?
Yes, and that's something I'd never do because I'm scared of heights.
Nobody ever do this. What about you, Howard? Have you heard of Go Ape?
I haven't. I must be the only person who hasn't.
Well, don't investigate it. There are 12 what are called camps. In fact, one of them, the one we went to, was actually an Italian-German prisoner of war camp during the war up in Grisdale in the Lake District. And I don't know if Hayley wants to tell you a bit more about it or I will do.
It's like an outside assault course, isn't it? So you jump between trees and go on kind of the slidey things, whatever they're called, is it? Cable.
Oh, it's like the Krypton Factor.
Yeah.
Remember the Krypton Factor on the telly?
But extreme. So climbing trees, jumping off of them. You know, you do have to be brave. I think kids do it.
Why would anybody want to do that?
Well, kids like it because kids don't have any sense of fear, do they? You get that as you get older, don't you? You start to put a bit of logic in the way and you think, right, if I go on that thing, I might hurt myself. Where kids don't have that, do they? They just think, oh, that looks fun, let me do it. I bet Sam's done it. Sam, you look like the sort of person that's done it.
I used to work at Go Ape.
Ah, see? I knew it!
Well, this one is the hardest one. Grisdale is the hardest one in the country. There were two problems. The first one is I found out quite rapidly I was scared of heights. Secondly, I'd put a Japanese katana through my foot about a month before by accident.
What is a Japanese katana?
It's a long sword of about 3 feet long.
Oh my God!
I do weaponry. Sometimes I used to do anyway.
What are you? An extra in Kill Bill?
And you can sing.
Yes.
And you can sing.
And I do science. I can't stop doing things. It just happens to me.
It's annoying when people have got too much talent, you know. Should be shared
out. Tell
me
about it.
That's why I listen to you. Both of you.
Exactly. To get annoyed. Just, you made that point before I did.
And the other thing was that we got told when we come down that two people had died because you get these protection ropes that, and you're not supposed to take them off, and somebody did, two people did, and then they jumped 6 feet across to one tree and they, 40 foot doesn't do a lot of good to a human body. If I'd have known that beforehand, I'd have never gone there. Never, never.
God, I'd rather stay at home and watch The Sound of Music.
Absolutely. Anyway.
I don't think you get me doing that. I mean, fair play to those who do, Hedy.
The other thing that Hayley said, I think, great ways to... what's the expression? To say something... I've lost it now. It's when you say something and it just gets them right at the end of it.
You mean to you. A riposte?
That's the one. I was at a conference.
It's a great word, isn't it?
It's a fun. Well, that's the word that I should be using because I should know about swordplay. And a colleague was boring me at some conference, and I said, you know, in my laboratory, we have a machine that can see the smallest things in the universe down to almost subatomic levels. But if they used it on me, they couldn't find any interest at all in what you say or do.
There's no comeback on
that's
that
a
one,
good
is
comeback.
There
was no way he was coming back on that one. Anyway.
I remember somebody once said to me at a radio station that I worked at, and this person wasn't a fan of one of my other colleagues, and he said, how would you describe Person X's talent? And I was not a big fan of that person too, so I just looked at him, and I didn't want to get involved in their row. And I just said, how would you describe his talent? And I said, immeasurable.
Priceless, it might not be worth anything.
And you can take that any way you like. You could take that one to the bank. So are you singing for us? Everybody seems to be singing for us tonight, Eddie. I'm confused. No, are you singing for us?
I'm still coughing from this. What I think I've got a light dose of the COVID whatever virus, and it stayed with me for about 3 months now. Oh. But I'm still alive.
Oh, Lord.
I'm still alive.
Look, this. They do say that an awful lot of people have had this, and it's been around, they claim, for a long time. I mean, Hayley knows, and my listener knows that I missed a show, and I never miss a show because, you know, I can't afford to miss the money. But on February the 9th, I was off because I had something that hit me really quickly. First of all, I was really hot, and this hit me within 2 hours. Then I got this terrible cough, and I had I never, ever have pain breathing. And within, I'd say, 6 hours, I had pain breathing. The symptoms went really quickly with me, and it made me really sick for about 4 days or so. And I was very chesty for about a month or 6 weeks afterwards. And I'm convinced, although I don't, how am I going to know without a test? I'm convinced that I had something like it, or it itself.
I'm absolutely sure that we have done, because although I'll leave you with this, I've never lost my sense of taste. Because, Hayley, it's red sauce all the way for me on hot dogs.
Oh, yes, definitely. Do you know what? I just don't like brown sauce on anything.
No, it's horrible.
It is. It's like Marmite.
You haven't lived. You have not lived.
No.
A good brown sauce on bacon.
Maybe HP. The last thing I'm going to say is that all the ghosts and spirits in my house are now, the idea of being scared, they're all scared at the moment because the government says that we can all exercise freely now.
Oh, God. That's one for the... I need to get some lines recorded for my Unexplained show. You say, The Unexplained, the program that allows you to exercise freely. But we need somebody who sounds like... What was that guy who had that hit record? I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. The monster from its slab began to rise.
The Monster Mash?
No, it wasn't BJ. BJ was BJ Robinson did something. Who was BJ Robinson did a song called Bang Bang. That was very good. It was Bobby Pickett and the Crypt Kickers.
Okay. That's going way back. Shows
and because Sam fell asleep about 5 minutes ago, we'll ask Sam to find it.
Has he still got his hat on?
He wakes up when he hears his name.
He keeps his hat on, though.
Yes, he's still got the hat on.
Take care, both of you, double H's.
Good night. Take care of
yourself. Thank you, Eddie. Oh, God. Bobby, what was it? Bobby Boris Pickett. Bobby Boris Pickett and the Crypt Kickers. I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. Hayley?
I'm just Googling it to see if you're right. Oh, yeah, Bobby Gentry.
No, not Bobby Gentry. Bobby Gentry was a female singer.
Oh, this is because it was... keeps coming up with the Masked Singer anytime you put in Monster, because apparently there was a character on the Masked Singer called Miss Monster. And that's,
oh, really? That's recent, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's why it comes up first on Google, and it's not giving me what I want.
You know popular
Sam's
entertainment. What happened to the
me?
Masked Singer? What happened to the Masked Singer? Everybody said, well, a lot of people said it wasn't very good.
Quite enjoyed it.
I think the only thing that was good about it was when you didn't know. I mean, the actual show itself was pretty appalling, but you carried on watching it because you have to know.
Yeah.
I did a lot of TV shows that disappeared without trace. I was on one called Surprise Wedding. I may have told you about this one, Hayley, before.
Mm.
This was a program that I don't think ever saw the light of day. Oh, no, it did. It did. They did do a version of it. They did two, one that they didn't show. And they did another version, and it was where couples got married on the telly.
Yeah.
But there was a twist to it. The woman would invite her partner to a supposed DIY TV show.
Right.
But when he arrived, the doors would open, and the curtains would slide back, and the lights would come up. And there he would see his partner in wedding gear.
And she
would turn to him and say, with the spotlight on him, I really apologise for getting you here under false pretences, but Clarence, will you marry me? Can you imagine that? I was the voice on that.
There are similar programs now, so it, even though it might sound like a wacky idea, it's definitely possible. I can think of a few very similar programs.
Well, I think it was on the once and it never appeared again, but I was part of that. I was the voice of that back in the day. I mean, the voice of all sorts of things. I was the voice of the All-Star Animal Awards. There's another program with Mel B. It was me and Mel B.
Oh, there you go.
This is Talk Radio, 0344 499 1000. She's Hayley Hayes. I'm Howard Hughes. Simple.
Late Night with Howard Hughes on Talk Radio.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight, for my monster from the slab began to rise,
and suddenly,
to my surprise,
he did the monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash. It caught on in a flash. It was the monster mash. In the castles, to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came to my humble abode to get a joke from my electrode. It was the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. It caught on in a flash. They did the monster mash. Go with. It had just begun. The guests included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. That's how I spent my childhood, Hayley.
I can tell.
You impressed? Actually, the two of us could do that really well. Do you want to join me on The Unexplained? We can do a double act. Anyway, let's get to 0344-499-1000, our number. Steve in Spalding in Lincolnshire. How is lovely Spalding?
Hello, Howard. How are we doing?
Oh, well, I'm all right. Are you all right?
Yeah, Spalding's fine. Spalding's still the same.
Same as it was.
Yeah.
You didn't call to tell me that, though, did you?
I thought you were going to say that song, Captain Beaky and his band, when you were doing something earlier on.
Captain Beaky, my God, you're going back, aren't you? That was 1980, I think.
Yeah, God, what a terrible song that was. It was a spate of terrible songs at that time, wasn't it, I think?
Well, yeah, but was it as bad as Blobby, Blobby, Blobby?
Well, I don't know, there was a lot of bad ones around about the 80s, weren't there? I mean, Shut Up Your Face was about there, wasn't it?
Oh, I like that one, Shut Up Your Face.
Joe Dolce, yeah, who, as I've said before on this show, he was not Italian at all, he was Australian.
Yeah, that's the one that kept Ultravox off number one, didn't it? From Vienna.
Vienna, what a great tune that was. Yeah, what a travesty.
They never made it.
And then there was...
Midjourney is very what about, upset still.
What about Rene and Renata?
Oh, save your love, my darling, save your love.
Hayley, did you ever... Are you aware of Rene and Renata,
yes,
Hayley?
Yes, I am.
It was a big guy. I think he was a chef or something in Birmingham or something like that. And they were, you know, they were good singers. But yeah, he did this kind of operatic style. Save your love. And then the video for it that they played on Top of the Pops was him on the ground singing to her up on the balcony.
Yeah, I remember that, actually.
Yeah.
Seen that on Top of the Pops too.
Excruciating it was.
Yeah,
there were loads of do you remember Japanese Boy? Who had that hit with Japanese Boy? Somebody will tell me.
Annika,
that's right. Not Annika Rice, but Annika.
No, Annika. She was Scottish, I think, wasn't she? I recall.
Was she? I always thought she was American or something. There you go.
The vapors, weren't they? That was Japanese. I'm turning Japanese, wasn't it?
Yeah, turning Japanese, I think so. No, that wasn't bad, I quite like that. But there were, you're right, novelty songs and weird songs were very big in the, like, 60s
anymore,
to 80s.
Though, do we? Not like that. I mean, we had Star Trek in, that was another one, wasn't it? That was the
Firm, they were good, we liked them.
Yeah, that was
Klingons
okay.
On the starboard bow.
And Spit and Image did a few, didn't they, in the 80s?
They did.
Yeah.
One or two I'm sure you couldn't broadcast now, but I remember them.
Very, very true, yeah. Hold the Chicken in the
and
Air.
And then there was the Baron Knights. Remember the Baron Knights?
Yeah.
The Baron Knights used to do a Christmas record every year.
Yeah.
Which songs?
But you didn't call to talk about this, did you?
What did you call about?
No, in general, I was done about when it came up earlier on. I thought it sounded like the Captain Beaky song. That's what I was going to say, but it wasn't. It was, and it wasn't even the Monster Mash, was it?
Who did Captain Beaky? I can still see the guy. I think he was a children's entertainer, wasn't he? On the telly.
Yeah.
Captain Beaky. I'm having to do all this on my phone. Keith Michelle.
There you go. Yeah, Keith Michelle.
Hissing Sid.
Hissing Sid is innocent.
Yeah. Ratty
there was a great big campaign.
Moley Bowl and... Yeah.
And there was a massive campaign, Hissing Sid is Innocent. People used to wear T-shirts with Hissing Sid is Innocent on the front.
Well, people used to wear T-shirts and things like JR, who shot JR and all that, didn't they, at that time? It was all them around
who
about
did
that.
Who did shoot JR? I can't remember. Was it Kristen?
It was. It was Sue Ellen's sister, wasn't it, the first one? And then he got shot again.
Yeah, I remember. Oh, JR. And what's her name? Linda Thingamibob.
Great.
Who was Sue Ellen. She is doing. She is fantastic. She's doing commercials for Dallas. Yeah, Sue Ellen. She was supposed to be an alcoholic and was forced into that. And J.R. Ewing, Larry Hagman, was trying to put her into the asylum.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes, he was. So, yeah. And then it was all a dream because Bobby woke up and he was in the shower.
In the shower. That's right. Hey, listen, I've got to go, Steve, because I'm being forced to.
Nice to speak by my, to you. Take care.
By my Bye. Disciplinarian producer.
Good night,
Take care.
Steve.
Thank you. Stephen Spaulding, let's get just down the road. Well, I say just down the road, like 75 miles away or so. Jerry in Burton-on-Trent. Hello, Jerry.
Good morning, both. Hi.
Morning.
Morning. Actually, talking of songs, do you remember the one where a guy does nothing but whistle all the way through?
There were a few of those. There was a guy who, or there was a, I don't know whether they were a group or whatever they were, but there was a tune called I Was Kaiser Bill's Batman.
You've got it. just literally whistling.
I can't, you know, if I do that now, I'm going to wake my neighbours up, so I can't.
Yeah, what was it? You remember the name of the song?
It was I Was Kaiser Bill's Batman, and it was Whistling Jack Smith.
Smith, that's the one. God, talk about coming and going. God, your knowledge is fabulous.
Well, no, my sister used to buy me the Guinness Book of Hit Records, which was partly written by my mate Mike Reed every year, so that's how I know these things.
Yeah, when you go back in time, I mean, I'm too old to even remember Dora Bryan singing a song, All I Want for Christmas is a Beetle.
Is a Beetle.
Can you, honestly, how can that get in the charts?
See, ask me. Well, no, I mean, there was Honor Blackman and Patrick McNee from The Avengers. They had a hit called Kinky Boots.
Oh, God, they did, didn't they? Yes.
Which had some politically incorrect lyrics that we couldn't repeat now, but if you remember. So there.
It's remarkable. I was phoning, really, Howard, to congratulate you on your excellent shows that I've one of these sort of passive listeners, because they're always very good with the unexplained. And last night you had a guy on, and forgive me, I can't remember his name, but he was talking about Ubuntu or something to do with this notion of...
Michael Tellinger.
That's it. No, the concept of an economy with no money and surviving, and I thought you handled it very well, because... Well, listening to him, of course, he didn't say a great deal, but I did go and watch the YouTube video that he was promoting. And it just seems like a cult more than anything else. It's sort of exactly the sort of thing you'd do on a commune.
I think they would say that it is just it's a different way of organising. I mean, there wasn't a lot of time to get into it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I think the idea is that they give every little town a generator. And they say, right, get on with it, and you all exchange, instead of having money, you barter things, you know, everybody has a skill, and you all use your skills in an appropriate way, and the whole thing works. And I always said, you know, the capitalist system that we've got now and that people are used to, and I'm not saying, you know, it's a good thing or a bad thing, but there are people who are maybe better able to do stuff. And they're not. And if there are people who don't contribute as much as they do, then you're going to have people, you know, getting upset with each other. Exactly. And that's my thought. That's my feeling as to why it would not work.
Human nature.
But it's a great idea. It's a great concept. It's a great thing to read about.
But But, you know, when you look at these Wacos and the Joneses and that, isn't that sort of a similar thing?
Well, no, because if you look at Waco and it wasn't George, what was his name? Jim Jones. If you look at Jim Jones and Jonestown and Waco, they were like so-called charismatic leaders, leading people to destruction, effectively. So it was a complete, it was a different thing. I think it would be wrong to say that that is a cult thing. That this, that we're talking, Ubuntu, is very much an African thing. I mean, it's an African word. It's an African concept, but it's the idea that looks great on a piece of paper. And who knows, it, I mean, it would be wonderful if it worked, but everybody's cooperative and there is no backbiting or anything like that. And if the world was like that, it would be a happier place.
Well,
sadly, as we know, it ain't like that.
Well, it was just, it just seems so off the wall. But I suppose if you can try and think outside the box and have the objectivity that you have with all your interviewees, which is so excellent, because you really do get behind the story in a fulsome way. I think that's superb the way you manage it.
Well, that's so nice of you to say that, because I was saying at the beginning of the show, I had an email about exactly that interview, telling me how I didn't know anything about anything, and basically I was crap. So isn't that interesting? But I mean, horses for courses, I think.
I think you give a fair airing, but you certainly question with rigour, and I think leave that objectivity to the listener, which I think is superb. And,
well, I think there are a lot of, I've got to say, there are a lot of American shows, and it's not just in the paranormal and stuff like that. But there are a lot of shows like that where the host will say, really, you believe you saw a monster with three heads? How big was that monster? That's amazing. Instead of saying, are you sure you weren't hallucinating? How do you know that? What proof have you got? But it's a whole other thing. Hey, listen, Jerry, it's very good to hear from you. I'm afraid we're going to have to clear out of here, otherwise I'm going to be in yet more trouble with Hayley.
And a quick tip, Howard, don't buy a beard trimmer by mistake if you're after a hair clipper. Just a little warning. All right.
I can see there being all kinds of problems. Thank you very much. I think I'm probably just going to grow my hair until it gets ridiculously long.
No,
that's Jerry
don't.
In Burton on Trent.
No.
No, you don't want me to do that.
No.
I'm going, what am I going to do? Tie it back then?
Just no, it'll be fine. Boris will sort you out.
Well, it is fine.
Well,
I hope so.
Is there any tablets you can take to stop your hair growing or something? I know you can get tablets to make your hair grow, but can you do the obvious, the reverse?
Well, I think you can probably play with your hormones, Hayley, but then I'll probably have a squeaky voice.
Oh. Well.
And I don't want that.
I get away with it. I have a squeaky voice. I somehow get away with it.
But
I'm not sure how.
But there's a difference between you and me that you know, no one can change. I don't know. Look, what do I... What,
you can
what
nowadays. I, you can fly to Bulgaria or something and get that sorted.
Okay. Well, you can't. Just to, you know, they probably got quarantined.
Oh, well, not now. Yeah, no, you'd have to be patient. But there is ways that you can do that. I think we might have Daryl. I can see Sam speaking to someone.
But I wonder,
I'm guessing it might
like
be Daryl.
Electrolysis or something like that. I like a technical solution to all of this.
I'm just
throwing out ideas and you're batting them back. That's all I'm doing. I understand that Daryl Morris from his base in Manchester is connecting with us at this moment. Daryl Morris connecting with Come In Monaco. Can you hear me?
Can you ask John if he's
Daryl,
got
are you there? Oh, there he is.
Oh.
Well, we're just talking
to you. Do you want us to ask John something? Is that what you wanted?
Could you do me a favour? Could somebody who's listening to... Could you just ask my producer John if he's got the clip that I've just sent over?
Right, we will get that done.
Right,
yes.
Just a little bit of on-air admin going on there.
Well, it's all right.
Sorry,
we're here to help.
Totally my fault. I think you're actually... Right. Sam did tell me you were putting me live... And I ignored it.
Yes, we have it.
No, Daryl, just repeat these words after me. Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Mic check.
Mic check.
That's fine.
Mic, am I on?
Yes.
You're very on. How are you doing, all right?
I think we're getting there, sort of thing. I think so. I'm sailing the ship of state through troubled waters. But I think the captain and his crew have come out of it reasonably unscathed.
Good.
That's what I would say. That would be my rough assessment of the whole thing.
Good. I think I've enjoyed your programme today. I've enjoyed your programme immensely. Well, I've learned a little bit of a herd. Professor heard all
of it. Are you sure you were listening to this programme?
Oh, no, that's right. That's a good point.
So talking of programmes, Daryl Morris, what's on yours then?
Lots to come this morning. When I first took over this programme, I've just started my journey into speech radio, and I kind of refer back to this quite regularly. I said that we were going to try and make sense of things. We were going to try and come together in the quiet of the night and try and make sense of the world, right? And, oh boy, do we have a lot to make sense of in the last 24 hours. It's been chaotic, but we're going to try and apply a bit of calm. I'd like to hear from you as well, please. 0344 499 1000 is the number on where it has left you. Where are you right now in your thinking? Are you clear or are you uncertain? Can you not understand what all the fuss is about when people point to the uncertainty? Or are you one of those people who's feeling a bit worried about it? Whatever your stance is tonight, I'm going to give you mine naturally. But yours is really the one that counts. 0344 499 1000. So we'll do that after one this morning. If it's all the same to you, Mr. Hughes, are you back tomorrow night as well?
I'm aware, as far as I'm aware at the moment. But, you know, when you're talking about clarity, I think, you know, I think I'm reasonably clear, you know, as clear as tomorrow's Friday.
Okay. Yes.
I think that's how clear I am at the moment. But that may just be me, Daryl. That may just be me.
No, I think it's me as well. Somebody tweeted earlier on saying, "Oh, I'm really drunk on a Wednesday night. Is this the new normal?" I had to point out it's actually Monday, I'm afraid.
That's sensible. Hey, Daryl. We've got to go. Daryl Morris here after 1 o'clock. I shall be listening because I will not be sleeping, as Hayley knows. Hayley Hayes, thank you very much for being part of this melange that we've chucked out there. And Sam, thank you very much for doing the technical operation. My name is Howard Hughes. Her name is Hayley Hayes. And the Lord willing, we'll be back at 10 p.m. tonight.
Talk Radio.